Get him. And welcome to In-Game Chat for Monday, April 12, 2010. The Billy Goat episode. Hey. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hey. I'm Matt.
That's Jeremy. I'm RJ.
I'm Dennis.
And welcome to the show. Tonight we talked about games that create anticipation or lack thereof. Fun with Hidden and Dangerous, more Matt memories. The PAX report, East versus West. Also, some of the changes for Crackdown 2. Split Second, Mafia 2, some of the games I got to play over at PAX. We hit your tweets, your emails, your voicemails, thoughts on Avatar, thoughts on Bad Company 2, explaining violence in video games, forced elements in multiplayer gaming, and lots more. So if you'd like to tweet and email us, you can. Twitter, at In-Game Chat. Email, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can also call us, but screw the calling. We've been getting nothing but stupid voicemails lately. Actually, we haven't been getting any voicemails. Just this.
Just some random guy like ass dialing us.
Just weird shit. So, anyway, or you can check us out at colonyofgamers.com and hit the forums over there. So there you go. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, I'm definitely. I'm gonna play it.
Wait, are you gonna do Blockbuster or something?
Probably gonna pick it up.
You gonna buy it?
Yeah.
Campaign's like 5 hours, man. I mean, it's supposed to be brilliant, but like, campaign's like 5 hours. And there's a bunch of like fancy shit you can do, and then there's some co-op. Like,
it's kind of like Mirror's Edge, isn't it?
I guess you could say that.
Good game, but 5 hours.
Well,
pay full price for it.
Excepting for the fact that Mirror's Edge was like fucking aggressive and new.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what Mirror's Edge is like.
Can't.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, in all of this, as a matter of fact, I was trying to identify. And maybe you guys will understand a little bit about what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. Up to my fucking jawline in AAA games. There was a joke a really long time ago. It may have even been somebody making like a joke blurb or something. It might have been The Onion or some shit like that, or PC Accelerator, for God. As old as I'm getting, it may have been that long ago. About how some company was making a blur, and again, this was a joke headline, but a company had said that, you know, 3 years from now, we expect 99% of our games to be AAA titles, you know? Like, in the future, all games are going to be AAA titles. At a time when we considered AAA to be a way to rate the very best games.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of become a way of establishing or certifying how much money you've spent on a game or something. And like, the worst game I've played in the last however long, in my opinion, was Heavy Rain. But there was so much, there were still so many reasons to play it. I just didn't like the way it worked, but there were still so many great reasons to play it. I don't know, I just feel like there's really a ton of, like, muscly shit out there, you know, like, really, like, got a lot of money back in it, a lot of really quality developers, and I just, I'm left kind of...
You only have so much time in the day.
It's not just that. That's not the big problem.
Oversaturation?
That is a huge problem. No, that's not it. I don't care. Right?
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2 is what it is. But I don't... Mass Effect 1 was largely an unknown. It's a new type of gameplay. It's a new universe. It's the exploration of a brand new idea.
Yeah.
So, you know how... Now, you hear about a game and you see videos of a game. And there's something that happens, and it doesn't happen with everything, but there's something that happens when you see a screenshot of a game. And you know how the game's going to work. It's an FPS, and you can kind of guess, like, I can put my head around this game. I can sort of put myself in a future where I'm already playing this game, and I can understand it. Then there are other times when you see a game that's clearly developmentally so far out ahead or just beyond the curve where you can't exactly understand what kind of game it's going to be. And I mentioned this when you say Mirror's Edge because, like, think about the first time you saw, like, the videos for Mirror's Edge. I was like, God damn it. You are lying to me. That cannot be all gameplay, like,
yeah,
the way that you've designed your world. I'm so unfamiliar with this art style, with this presentation, with the gameplay design. And it made me very eager to see it, very hungry to see it. It makes me have weird dreams about it. Like the Metal Gears have always done that to me, you know? There's certain things about the gameplay design that's always pushed a little bit further, so that I've always been uncertain to the point of kind of avarice. You know, God, I have to have this fucking game. I have to see it and feel it. The closest thing I can think of to the most recent game that did anything like that to me was Infamous. And even then, it was more about being so surprised at how solid the gameplay was, not really having great questions about how it would play. But, like, early videos of GTA 4 did that for me. The scope was just so enormous, and the game was just so dense. Like, this can't be real. Like, yeah. I've got to be able to see the cracks, or it's got to be, like, absolutely cluttered by invisible walls and things I can't do, and it wasn't. So my anticipation is built on top of just not knowing where the game's going to take me. And anymore I look at these games and I'm like, whatever. And then I play it, you know, because I felt obligated to, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, okay, this is pretty much where I expected to go. You know, and I know a lot of it is just having been around a while, and you see these things. And if we were all in our early 20s, we probably wouldn't feel this way. We'd probably be totally surprised and completely happy at all this new stuff. But most of it isn't new stuff. Most of it is old stuff, with a AAA wrapper, big budget, and more ads. You know, better voice actors. And it's kind of eating at me, and I'm finding less, and I'm finding myself having to justify my love for a game, or to convince myself that I definitely like it. You know, it's totally great, even though I don't feel it. And I could really stand to feel that about now, and I don't.
Yeah, a weird thing happened to me when I was in Boston at PAX, and Coop hasn't put up the video. He, like, did interviews with everybody from COG who was there, and on the last night, he interviewed me, and he's like, "What was your favorite game of the show?" And just earlier that day, me and him on a whim had stopped by Tabletop Gaming and played just that little, he did a write-up on it, but just a dice game.
Zombie dice.
We played that. And I was like, God damn, that's fun. It was like the most fun I had out in Boston was just rolling some fucking dice. I think exactly what you said. And there was no obligation to it. It was completely, you know, it was simple. It didn't require, I didn't have to think about how it looked while I was playing it. I didn't have to think about what the story was while I was playing it. I didn't have to analyze anything I was doing. I just had to play. And enjoy it. And, yeah, I don't know. I think you hit these things from time to time. It's been an amazing ride with everything we've had. Shit, man, we used to complain about this. Not having it.
Yeah.
You know?
See, here's my thing, though. Not that I'm trying to identify some unknown syndrome or something, but it's not like I'm feeling bad about it, but you're totally happy. You know, it's not like you're questioning the state of your love of these things, but the rest of us are totally excited about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of pandemic. And I don't know what that is. All right, look, I should be completely anticipating Alan Wake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally should. Like, the part of me, I mean, there's reasons to be skeptical. You know, the part of me that still sort of cries into my pillow every night about how much I hated the turn that Max Payne 2 took is at war with the part of me that just is still in love with Max Payne 1.
Yeah.
Still considered to be one of the greatest games I've ever played. Not that a lot of people choose to make the distinction between the two. But, you know, Sam Lake writing a really kind of edgy and aggressive Remedy game. There's no really good reason why I shouldn't be absolutely, you know, out of my fucking pants jazzed about that, because it's a month away. But I'm just like, what? I'm going to play it? Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to put it in the drive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to see. But
it'll get here when it gets here.
But I'm telling you, it's not even that. It's not that I'm become casual about it. And don't get me wrong, I know that this is one of the reasons why a lot of people like casual games. Because there's very little obligation. But it's not that. I don't mind thinking about how the game looks, and I don't mind following the story. I just want it to be somewhere I haven't been before. I want to think that, by God, these fucking dozens of millions of goddamn dollars that are going into this development cycle are doing something other than, you know, rendering particle effects.
You want innovation.
I need it. As a matter of fact. And I think, I'm not saying that stuff that's out now is not good. Yeah. What I'm saying is that we haven't, oh man, I don't know. I've been working really hard to try to put these thoughts together. But I need to look at a game and lose sleep over the fact that it's not here yet. That's what I need. I need to go to sleep dreaming about a game. Many, many, many games over the last 20 years have I gone to sleep dreaming about. Because, oh my God, it's not here yet, you know? Like, I just can't believe, like, all these things I've seen. It looks so fucking amazing. And the demo I played just was, like, blew me away, you know? I played the fucking Metal Gear Solid demo for 8-9 hours straight.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it was like a 7 or 8 minute demo.
Yeah.
I fucking just kept on playing it and kept on playing it and kept on playing it. It was fucking brilliant. And it still never soured me on what it was going to be like. You know, I remember looking at the screenshots for Metal Gear Solid 2 mm-hmm. and all of us huddling around them and being like, that's bullshit. There's no way a game is going to look that cool and do what this fucking thing says it's going to do. Yeah. You get in, you play it, and it does it. And it's kind of it's a bit of a high, you know, like a fatty foods kind of high.
The whole reason why you bought Zone of the Enders was for that demo. For the most part.
I mean, But... And hasn't been there. I think the last time it happened like that was probably GTA 4. Not that GTA 4 isn't completely marginalized and sort of nyanyad by everybody in the world now, because everybody's fucking played it. And, you know, I haven't been able to pick the damn thing up in order to play the expansions because I put so much goddamn work into the basic game. But I remember looking at the videos. I remember those first teaser fucking videos they released over live. I remember watching those videos over and over and over because I couldn't put my head around the design. I couldn't get ahead of the game before it came out. And I think there's something important in that. It means that the creators are so far ahead of me mm-hmm. that I can't wrap myself around it intellectually or emotionally. There's still something to be surprised by. And a lot of things... Like, that's why I didn't pick up Just Cause. You know, I looked at it and I saw Mercenaries 2. I was like, yeah, a lot of open, crazy, fun stuff you can do. But, you know, I had a sneaking suspicion that the actual formula, the guided, constructed gameplay wouldn't be terribly good, which is kind of something that I've heard, that the game's more fun when you're fucking around than it is when you're playing the game. And that's, I don't know that that's necessarily true. I mean, it's what I read. The point is how I felt about it before it came out. I don't know. How much of it is me just being unwilling to be surprised? I don't think that's it.
I don't know, because I got the game. I got as far as installing it to my hard drive and it didn't do anything. I can't tell you why. I don't know why. I installed it and I got distracted by something else, and then. But obviously, if it was going to be what it was supposed to be, then nothing would have distracted me. As soon as it got done, I would have played it. So, you know, I can't tell you. This is very hard to put into words. Very hard to somewhat explain.
It's a total pain in the ass.
In a way to understand it. Hopefully, if you're listening, maybe you just understand it. Maybe you just understand it. I don't know.
How long has it been since we did a show?
About a month.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Seriously, what have you played in the last month?
I put God of War 3 in one time and played until I got a little frustrated. And
do you feel bad about that?
No, I don't. I felt better when I wasn't playing, actually.
Yeah.
Battlefield, God of War 3, and Final Fantasy 13 out. Hadn't really played much of anything since we recorded a show. And Yeah. No, I don't feel too bad about it. I was, you know, looking forward to Just Cause 2, but I never got around to sending anything back, so I don't know. I know some of it has to do with just how much we gorge ourselves on trying to play everything all the time, have something to say about it, but I don't know. I think it's suspicious that, like, you know, the three of us so far that have spoken on it, like, all feel the same way at the same time, and just aren't really into playing anything right now. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on.
I know you guys know that I, in a way, in my head, sort of live in a perpetual 1989. You know, like somewhere like, you know, late 80s to like late 90s kind of thing. You know, that decade, you know, is always in the back of my head. But, you know, I think about, you know.
No, dude.
What?
It's in the front of your head.
All right, whatever. But, you know, I think about, like, you know, about 10 years, you know, a little bit so. I just remember always being...
Are you going to tell us that you haven't felt like playing Monkey Island recently?
Because you've been thinking about Monkey Island 2. No, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I have been thinking about Monkey Island
2. Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'm excited about that. Actually, I got all the soundtracks for the LucasArts. But anyways, I think about, like, you know, back in those days. And I was always, you know, seeing... Maybe it's nostalgia or just, you know, bad recollection, you know, too much non-drugs on my part, I don't know what. But I always remember just, to me it seems like, I was always, like, amazed at, like, new things coming out. You know, like, there weren't as many sequels as we have nowadays. There's, you know, Square was always pumping out something different, whether it's, like, you know, Bushido Blade or Parasite.
They were
Parasite
a very
Eve.
Experimental company 10-plus years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not just Square, but, like, everybody seems to be. I mean, there were some, you know, there were sequels, obviously, but it wasn't nearly to the saturation that we have nowadays where, you know, picking up, you know, Bioshock 2, for the most part, you know, it's going to be like because you played 1. You know, Mass Effect 2 minus the whole, you know, game change of, you know, gameplay, the world's there. You're going back to it, you know. I think of, like, you know, yeah... In the days of, you know, the Star Wars, you know, games that they had before the prequels, you know, there's lots of running around Hoth and, you know, shooting TIE fighters out of the sky and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, at least, you know, companies back then tried things differently, more so than now. And, you know, when Splinter Cell was brand new, I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. I'm liking this guy. This is an interesting character. And, you know, when two came out, I'm like, all right, it's not bad. Three, I didn't play it actually at all. I didn't
Chaos
really...
3.
Huh? Yeah, Chaos
3.
Yeah.
Well, Pandora Tomorrow was a total sour pain in the fucking ass for most of the people at this table. Because we all, like, we tried to fun play it together.
Yeah.
But nobody had Xboxes, so we tried to play it on PC.
And it was crazy
Which
bad.
We absolutely got, like, stabbed in the asshole for doing.
Yeah.
Like... You know, gleefully, maniacal, Joker laughing, shank in the asshole by Ubisoft for doing that stuff. It was horrible. Absolute waste of goddamn money. Because that was the only thing anybody wanted to do.
Yeah.
Chaos Theory was fine. They did some... Yeah.
Double
Agent was an absolute fucking pile of afterbirth. It was a piece of... And I totally played it all the way through.
Same here.
Just, like...
To see what it was like.
Because I was just so dedicated to the concept of Sam Fisher. And it was truly horrible. And I mean, just to stay on that line, when they showed the stuff from E3, I mean, what fucking probably the last episode we did, or maybe the one before that, you know, and I was like all over you for not having seen the video. Like, shit was money, dude.
Yeah.
And mostly it's the, it looks like, it appears to be, in every way, the Sam Fisher that should exist. He is just pissed the fuck off. He's a guy who spent, I don't know, 30 years being trained to be a fucking killer. And now he's just angry and pissed off and mostly unchained and gone off the reservation. You know, just basically let loose to be a badass. And that stands in very stark contrast to not the character he was before, but how he was permitted to act, which was just infuriated me. I hated it. It was almost worse than invisible walls. You know, oh, you're discovered. You know, mission fail state kind of thing. I didn't like that. Or, well, if you shoot anybody, then the whole mission's compromised and game over. Like, that's fucking retarded, dude.
Yeah.
I want to go in there, and I can't tell you. Like, I truly am looking forward to smashing that dude's face into the urinal from the video. Hopefully I can do it, like, repeatedly. Hopefully that's not the only guy whose face I'm smashing.
Down the line of urinals.
Like, keep on smacking. I really appreciate that brutality.
Yeah.
Anybody who listens regularly knows that I'm, like, very... There's, like, a thin membrane between my civility and my rage. And this looks like a game that could really coddle and sort of nurse my rage a little bit and really feel good. Mm-hmm. And I respect that because it's a hard decision to make, apparently, for these guys. So that is an example of a game I'm really excited about. We should say, like, also, we're recording this on Monday. It's totally weird. And Splinter Cell's due out in, like, I don't know, fucking 5 hours. And I don't mind telling you that I've thought about going by GameStop tonight at midnight. Just pick it up and have a little bit of, like, you know, face urinal that guy and get a little bit of a rage jolt.
Helps him sleep at night.
I mean, because I respect it. I respect the change to become a little bit more brutal and a little bit more visceral. I really do. So that's something that I would like to be very excited about.
I downloaded the demo. I never played it.
I, even kind of before this sort of ennui right, yeah. settled on me. Like,
it was released.
I didn't want to because I knew that I was like, whatever, I don't care.
That's totally kind of the way I've gotten to the point of with these demos is like, I'm probably going to play your game anyway. I think I should play your demo if I'm just unsure of what I'm getting into. Whereas instead of it used to be like, well, I want to play the demo because, you know, I'm going to play that game anyway. I want to play your demo to get in some of whatever it is you're offering. I'm going to buy your game anyway, but at least I can play it now a little bit with the demo. But again, you know, whatever has come over me. Actually, no, that was just like I didn't have time to. I downloaded it, but I was still playing God of War 3. And then went out of town, that was it. And when I got back from PAX in Boston, I didn't turn on my machine at all. I turned it on to grab some games that were on sale to buy, I think, like $5 or $10 worth of games. Off the arcade, but I never played them. Just, you know, left it on while those things downloaded, and then it eventually shut itself off 6 hours later from inactivity. So yeah, I hope that I'll get to them. I hope that I'll get to... I mean, I will. I'll play Splinter Cell when I get it in. I say that.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get in some stuff this weekend. I never did. And maybe part of that goes... The week leading up to my trip to Boston, I was feeling there was some strange fucking shit going on with me. I was running fever at night and was fine during the day, and just some weird shit. Went to the doctor like the day before I left for Boston. I went to the doctor, and they're like, well, you've got a low white blood cell count, and you've got all these things here. You just need to be careful. Drink some stuff. Take lots of pills.
I'm a zombie.
Yeah. And you'll be fine.
I might have to kill you with a shotgun.
I eventually was fine. And then I got back from Boston, right. And then...
What do you think when I say the following words? Itchy, tasty. Right. You're probably just a clever zombie. Yeah. I'll get you.
So, yeah. And then shit happened immediately when I got back from Boston. Mm-hmm. In life, outside of playing video games.
And then, that could be it. Like, everybody's kind of got some life going on.
Yeah, life happened to everybody. Life happened
if anybody's following me on Twitter, you know what the fuck's going on, so don't even worry about that. Mm-hmm. But
it's going to be a short week for me for games because, you know, I leave out Sunday for Sacramento for 3 weeks.
Yeah, you just got back from Hawaii.
That's really crazy because I don't have games in Sacramento. That's totally weird.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be taking my box with me.
Why?
I'll probably take my laptop and not my consoles just because I won't have time.
You're a liar. You're in the Air Force. You got time. Air Force isn't that busy. Blah, 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 planes. I'm gonna land them.
I'm going to the schoolyard, you know, the schoolhouse. So this is going to be for, you know, I have a lot of homework to do. Mm. You know, first 2 weeks is going to be, you know, school instruction. The third week is going to be nothing but, you know, full-on war bomb buildup. So, I think they say they normally try and do like about 500 bombs a day.
I don't even know what that means.
A lot.
Is it like a drinking game?
No.
What? No, I mean do bombs. Do 500
bombs. Build them from scratch.
Okay.
You know, get everything loaded up, you know, build it from scratch, put it on a trailer, and send it out to the flight line. So, you know, I'll be busy, but I'll have my laptop with me.
Means so. You can play Monkey Island all you want.
Or at least listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So when are you leaving?
Sunday.
All right, well, I know what he's going to do. So, I'm probably going to be the only person I can play Conviction with co-op. Which really terrifies me.
Whatever.
Because whatever, dude, you whatever. From what I understand, you have to rely very heavily on the timing and responsiveness of your partner.
I'm like the Rock of Gibraltar. You can rely on me that not right. much.
The Rock of Gibraltar. You can rely on you to sit there and do nothing.
Just what the fuck that thing does.
You can rely on him to shoot you in the face.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's just Kevin.
I remember you telling me that story, too.
Which one?
There's a lot of them.
One where you asked for confirmation if Matt was...
He was on the plateau. On the plateau.
Yeah, see, that was a different one from him shooting Kevin in the face, which is a different one from him when he shot James out of the sky.
Yeah.
So,
wait, when did I shoot you out of the sky?
Which time was it? which time that he shot me out of the sky?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait,
it was in a European Air War.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
It was fun shooting James out of the
sky. No, the game is
no, no, no. It was totally cool because we spent like 45 minutes like flying in real time to get to our escort spot, and the match got bored. Shot me out of the sky. It was great. It was really cool. So, okay. All right. Dig it. Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. What does it say to you?
Buy me.
Play me. Play say buy me.
Say
buy
me.
Say brother rental.
It may turn into a buy
me.
It's not
high on my radar.
Fucking look at them videos, man.
It was. I played a little
bit.
And
I'm like, motherfucker. God damn it. Where the fuck? I know. Where the fuck is this goddamn cowboy MMO? They can do this shit. Like, where's my Wild West MMO?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, forget that fucking rat shit piece of crap you found earlier online when I said the same thing. That's really stupid,
one?
But oh, it's horrible, dude. It's the most wretched thing in the world.
Shoot. Stare down.
It was awful. Like, I looked at those videos and I was like, man, Wild West would be like a really, really great setting.
Yeah.
For that kind of crap. Because it's like, really easy to instance all of the locations, you know, because it's fucking like, you know, dry wash and sagebrush between every fucking town. Anyways, hop on a railroad, whatever, and go to it. Like, it looks pretty fucking incredible. And I was trying to decide whether or not I could believe them when I saw the little multiplayer shit they did, the shit they posted today. Which is the same thing as GTA 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just run around the open world with all your asshole friends and do some stuff. But it looks like they maybe kind of pulled it together a little better than they had in GTA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't, you know, Grand Theft Horse doesn't necessarily do it for me because I'm, you know, I don't know, not an old man. I didn't grow up on Westerns. So it's really kind of hard to hit that vibe.
I used to watch them with my grandpa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man, but it looks really, 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 really well put together. Like, really well put together. Like this, one of those things where Ubisoft is going to charge me $65.99 for 5 hours of campaign play and a couple of runs through in co-op. And, you know, these guys are going to charge me $65.99 for probably, you know, however many goddamn hours I can disappear down this fucking Red Dead Redemption hole, you know?
Did you ever play Gun?
Nah. Gun was at that weird time between
the systems,
between
yeah.
The systems, so I never bothered.
I enjoyed that one.
On the PC.
Yeah, I mean, I've got that. You know,
I never played it. We're the first Red Dead Revolver.
The, Yeah. I didn't play the Red Dead Revolver. That's one I did miss.
That's
PS2.
I don't know.
You know, this I played the Call of Juarez games. You know.
Yeah. I hated Call of Juarez.
I didn't play that either. None of those westerns, for whatever reason, none of those westerns grabbed my attention like Red Dead did.
This shit looks solid, though.
Like Redemption, anyway.
This shit looks absolutely fucking solid. I mean, I get it. It's GTA with horses and shit, but it really looks fucking polished as hell. It's another thing I would like to be excited about.
Isn't that how they advertised the first Red Dead, GTA with horses? Kind of.
I don't even remember that, and I don't think that their formula had become super critical at that point, like it has now.
Yeah.
With four, you know, with this being a post four game, it's an entirely different thing. I mean, I can't look at any of the videos without wanting to be there. So
yeah,
that's kind of exciting, but I also can't do it without referencing some of that open world burnout that I got with GTA. Mm. But damn, it looks really great.
All these Western games make me really wish that Outlaws was redone.
You don't want that. You want Outlaws redone. What are they going to do? Who's going to redo it?
I know.
LucasArts?
No.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want it redone. You want it right where it is. I don't know, whatever. It looks really great. It's one of three games in the next month that I'm hoping, you know, turns me on a little bit.
Didn't Alan Wake get pushed up?
Alan Wake is, unless I'm confused, is the same day as Red Dead Redemption, isn't it? The 13th of next month?
The 13th
of May.
Checking now. I believe you're right. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
that is,
tough.
I need to fix my cue here. Red Dead Redemption, Prince of Persia, Alan Wake, and Split Second.
Hmm.
All on the same
day. Yeah, it's a tough day.
God damn.
That's a tough day. See, this is why it hurts so bad.
This is very much why it hurts. Jesus Christ.
It's going to be tough between those two. It's going to be really, really tough because
I got Split Second on mine, too. Well, you guys don't, but yeah. I got Split Second on mine.
Yeah, you want to play two or three, we got to focus on one.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Isn't the Prince of Persia, is that the Sands of Time Prince?
Yeah. Prince of Persia, the Forgotten Sands of Time Prince.
Yeah. Okay. It's the game, the movie, the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
But, I played this at PAX. It plays exactly like Sands of Time, the very first one.
Yeah, but
that's cool.
Almost right down. I mean, the intro is almost exactly the same. I mean, right down to it.
Why don't you? Anything to say about that? That little trip you took?
Yeah, I got plenty to say about that. I had a shit ton of fun. In comparison to PAX Seattle, maybe.
Maybe. The fuck else are you going to compare PAX East to?
Well, if anybody wanted to hear that.
I suppose if pressed, I could make some sort of strange comparison.
Well,
really see the relationship between the two gatherings at all.
Well, some people care.
Except
for
the fact that, you know, I was there.
I wish you'd go to one of these ones. I really wish you would. You never will, but I wish you would.
Do you think that I would get anything out of these things, dude?
I'll love to go to it, you know, just so I can get back. You know, I miss a tabletop.
Of course,
you know,
you would. Whatever. You don't need PAX for tabletop gaming.
No, but I have some friends out at Boston who went to that one that, you know, I haven't seen in a while. And,
yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Don't try to.
But you know, I'd love
to weasel
your
way into PAX by claiming some sort of, you know.
I would love to get back into their D&D games or, you know,
it's good, but you don't need PAX for that.
Yeah.
Those are small group activities. You don't need them for that. You just need a real city, which this isn't. I said my thing about PAX, and I don't know because I haven't been, and I can't obviously rate it or judge it, but the thing that it proposes is not a thing I need.
Yeah.
I would like to meet people.
No, I was going to say, that's the reason.
But that's it. That is absolutely it. I don't need, you know, I don't need a 32-bit love-in.
Yeah.
I don't need this great, sweaty geek mass. Like, I don't have any problems with it at all. Like, it doesn't, I do not judge my people. But I don't need that. I'm not that kind of guy. And if there, the only reason I would go would be to meet people and kind of talk about stuff. But the great social experiment of PAX, which seemed very much at play in the first couple of years of its existence, didn't really kind of draw me. It was certainly very interesting, and I was very proud of that group of people. But beyond that, I guess last year was a really great, or maybe it was the year before, I don't remember, the point at which I felt like the organization or the gathering as advertised had completely changed, because all of the AAA motherfuckers caught on to what it was. It's like, motherfucker, we've got all of our audience in one place. Well, let's fucking infect that shit, you know? And that's what they did. Like, the crowd did the fucking shit out of it. And it became impossible to see everything you wanted to see or talk to people you needed to talk to. And it was the worst parts of some of the industry-only conventions.
Kind of like E3.
No, it was the worst parts of it. It wasn't like E3. E3 is still, at the very least, clinical and business-like.
Oh, okay.
And the hoopla all appears in the media, the press of the event. Well, that's not entirely true, but that's what E3 is for. And PAX always seemed to me to be like about the people, about the attendees, and not about the presence of vendors. But now it seems to me that that's very much a part of what it is, you know? That it's a dual nature, you know? And it does a lot of things. It does really well, man. People would fucking go if it wasn't giving them what they wanted. And I'm not even, like, judging it for any of those things. I'm simply trying to explain, like, why I wouldn't go. Because it is all of those things, and only one thing that I really need, which is direct contact with some of the people that I've never met. A lot of people that I don't even know I'd like to meet. And kind of like a lot of expense and hassle to do it, you know?
That's the only reason I haven't done it again lately. Because I really enjoyed my trip out there.
I was going to say, you were the first one. You were the very first one. And nobody else has been other than Jeremy and me.
Yeah.
Correct, since then?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeremy's the only one. So we can understand this when I say that it's nice that there's those games there. That's great and all, but it gives these groups of people, our groups of people, whatever the case, however you want to put it, a place to gather. And I didn't have fun in the confines of the convention center. I had fun when we'd go out to eat or when we were just sitting around shooting the shit.
As long as we were hanging out with our guys.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we were
there, doing. That's where the fun was.
Like, you know, whether, you know, on the convention floor, like hanging out in line, you know, waiting to play Left 4 Dead 2 was just as much fun as,
yeah,
you know, playing it with the guys and then, like, you know, going to Vaughn's or, like, you know, going to the concert or waiting in line for the concert, you know, whatever. Like, hanging out with our guys was a lot of fun.
And it's another thing I can't get.
Yeah?
Don't like concerts. I really, really, like, 95% of live music I just don't care for.
Yeah.
I much prefer it in my own space, like in my own personal thing, you know? So, I mean, it's not a dig on anything. It's just, I know that's a huge part of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, here's the package, here's the deal, here's everything it is. And really only, like, one piece of that is something I can get. And just like you're saying, I could really only get it sometimes if I was participating in things that I didn't want to do.
Well, not necessarily, because, like, not everybody, our group, we had so many people there, you know, not everybody was interested in the same shit. There were a lot of people that weren't interested in going to the concerts. They were off doing other things while we were at the concert.
Right.
So, whatever you were interested in doing out there, like, there was a group of our guys, like, going to do that thing, so... it was pretty cool. It was just so goddamn expensive to fly out there and stay, you know.
That's the reason I haven't been back, is because it's a huge chunk of change.
I'm glad I went. I'd like to go again sometime, but I think I'm going to have to, like, be making a little bit more money before I go again next time.
Yeah. about where
I don't know that I'm going to Seattle this year.
I was thinking, like, it doesn't seem to really matter whether it's Seattle or where is it, Boston, mm-hmm. or East. Like, it's so far away from here, it's going to be the same expense for me, whichever direction I decide to go.
Yeah, Boston's not, like, somehow more convenient than Seattle.
Yeah.
When you live in the fucking...
Oh, no, it's not that. It's just the fact that I've already...
That you've already been to
it's,
one.
It's that I paid for Boston. Yeah. I've also paid for E3 now, and then, you know, I got my Twitter shit going on that everybody knows about, so then there's that. Income...
Now I see what you're saying.
Yeah. ...is on shaky ground.
Why do you... At the moment. How the fuck you care about it being its own thing? Is it just more of the same on the East Coast? Or?
Getting into that. Getting into the comparison between East Coast and West Coast, as far as conventions are concerned, not hotel prices, bullshit like that. This floor was small. This was tiny. We could do... you could go and you could see everything you wanted to see.
Yeah.
And then some. You could probably cover the show floor in a day. In one day. So it was a little bit... It was very tiny. It was really, really tiny this year. However, it was really convenient on the conveniences of. I mean, it was inside a mall, so food was plentiful.
Okay.
Anytime you were hungry or whatever, food. I mean, fuck. There's a Dunkin' Donuts right outside the convention center, in a mall.
Yeah.
And then there's a food court down at the end that you could get tons of. You know how it was in Seattle? It was like. Very long line to wait for your food, or they just ran out and you had to go outside down the street.
I like the going outside stuff, man. Like, because you didn't need a car to get anywhere. It's laid out so nice. You just walk down a block or two and like look for some shit you want
to
eat.
I'm not big on walking, if you can tell. It was nice to get
that was
all the hotels. By the way, all the hotels were connected.
It was
like
the best fucking sushi I ever ate. It was out there in Seattle. Some good shit.
All the hotels were connected to this mall, which was, again, pretty nice because it was fucking cold. So you didn't actually have to go outside to get to your hotel if it was one of the ones that was connected. But the show floor, really, really tiny. That would be the only difference. I don't know if that's actually a plus or a positive or a negative to it. Because on the negative end, it's like if it's so big and you can't get to everything, that's kind of a complaint about it. But if it's too... If it's so small, maybe then there's stuff that didn't get there. Maybe you wish there was more or something like that. But that's what it was. Got to play a few things. Played a little bit of Crackdown 2 multiplayer.
How was that?
Confusing at times. It was my first time playing that since fucking Crackdown, and that was...
Yeah.
06?
Did you...
That's 3 years
ago. Yeah. Did playing the multiplayer give you any particular feelings about...
Was it 07? Or I can't remember.
I can't remember when we started doing the
show. It was 07, because Halo 3 hit in September of 07.
Well, it was right when we started doing the show.
Yeah,
because most of our show was all cracked down.
Yeah, February of 07 then.
Did it give you any particular vibe about the single player?
It felt familiar. I mean, I remembered, you know... It didn't. It didn't give me any vibe about the single player, other than, you know, motherfucker could jump... If our stats were all maxed out, I didn't really have a lot of time to sit there and look at much of the screen other than like you were chasing this one guy, and once you shot him and killed him, then you could pick up the orb that he had dropped and be the guy that everybody was going after, you know. I don't know if it looked about the same. Didn't look like there was any type of hey, this looks better.
You're playing the multiplayer.
Yeah, we were just playing multiplayer, was it?
That's an absolutely craptastic metric
for
what that game is, because the multiplayer in the first game was just, hey, look at you're both here.
Yep.
Okay.
Like, it was fun, but I don't think it gave me any type of idea on the single player aspect. But it was the first time I made that jump again where your dude just fucking launches from the ground. I was like, oh, this is fun. I remember this.
I was just curious because I've been getting a lot of bad vibes from things I read.
We were talking about the Totillo story.
Yeah, that was one.
Where he goes and talks to
him. That was a big one.
His entire story, I don't have it up in front of me, and I'm not going to try to quote it entirely accurately, but he had some personal time with the developers to see the game. It was right at the end or after PAX. And he was constantly telling them, like, oh, man, you know, I just like, this was one of my favorite things in the first game, you know? And they'd be like, yeah, about that. Yeah, we don't have that. We took that out. Or, well, you know, we had to get rid of that for to free up some memory to do some other thing that you don't really care about and weren't asking for. I think basically his entire write-up, a short little article that he wrote about his impressions, the entire thing was about, I liked this from the first game, and they took it out. You know, no vehicle morphing.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. They just took it out.
Damn it.
Or
because there were two stations, and I would have found this out. There were two stations. There was Rocket Tag, which is what we played, and then there was just Deathmatch, which included vehicles. And we never got to that station to do that because I was really like, oh, I want to get in that vehicle and watch it do its little go-go gadget shit that it's gonna do and transform. It took it out. That sucks.
It was stuff. I can't even remember the other stuff he enumerated, but it was a handful of things. And it wasn't so much that it was gone, but a lot of it was the reasoning, like, oh, we just can't, you know, there was no room in the game to put this in there, so we had to, like, pull it out or do this other thing. And then they were like, okay, but this is a great idea, you know, like, we got these agility orbs that'll run from you.
What?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I heard about that.
You piece of shit. Like,
that's not a good idea.
No. Here's the thing. And Jeremy and I pretty much agreed on this simultaneously. You play your game too much. All you've been doing forever and a day now is playing your game. So to you, I'm sure this is a fun, interesting challenge in this game that you've probably played every day of your life for the last 2 years.
Because they've just been sitting there and you thought, well, we'll make a move.
Yeah, but like this is the kind of useless badgering of a good idea that just sort of turns me off, man. It just gives me the fucking sour ass about your fucking game. It's like, man, because that's what I needed. That's what I needed from a Crackdown sequel.
Yeah.
Forget the fact that the motherfuckers are already hiding from me. When I find them, the bitch is gonna run. Like, this is not. It's just not. That's not fun. You know. And I know that the two aren't necessarily correlated. And I'm just being kind of a petty asshole. But how about you leave in the agility orbs that didn't go anywhere? And then give me back my vehicles that morph into cool shit. How about you do that?
I love those vehicles.
But you got rid of stuff that, I mean, I don't know. They claim nobody liked it and whatever. Maybe a bunch of people
didn't. The two people that they polled.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But they got rid of something that was clearly like kind of cool. And put in something that nobody was asking for. That doesn't need to be there. Just, there was a handful of things that seemed like they're just really ill-informed game design in an effort to simply not be like the previous game. Well, fuck you. The previous game was really very strong.
Oh, I know. I remember what another one was. The
I don't know if I want to hear it.
the way you could go after the organization.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He was. By that's going, exactly right.
You could like weaken the organization. By going after like the guy in control of the guns, then they all have shitty guns.
Then the next guy would have shitty guns, or you could choose to go after the guy that does all the recruiting. That way, the next bosses have
less dudes.
Have fewer dudes.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, you can't do that.
Vehicles, and they're like, yeah, no, we took that out.
So basically, just the ability to go after things in any way you saw fit, and it's gone.
Well, shit.
And these are the kind of things that, like,
yeah.
They give you a multiplayer demo, and it's like, yeah, hooray.
There's a reason they didn't give you the single player demo.
That's, like, you know, I mean, that's great. As long as that's fun. But I don't know, whatever. I don't even know what any of that means. All I know is that I'm not as happy about it as I once was. As I was last E3 when I heard about it.
Poor Scott.
I mean, dude, I don't know. It's fucking Steven Sotillo complaining about this shit. Fuck if I know. Jeremy and I didn't see the game.
So. Yeah, and like I said, all I saw was the multiplayer part of it, and that was a little confusing almost all the time and not a good way to judge anything about it. I was more interested in the single player, and I kind of wanted to play this multi, be like, all right, let's see how the controls play and that sort of thing. Because my mind was completely on the single player of this. It really wasn't, how is this going to work out in multi? I, you know, we had some of that in the first one.
Well, you know.
You had co-op in the first
thing one. I liked about the first game was that we could both get in there and go through the thing. And it didn't work terribly well, but I liked the idea.
It did enough, yeah.
So.
Oh, what else did I play? I played Split Second. I like that. I won't go into it. It's It's fun. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's Michael Bay and Burnout. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Bunch of fucking destruction and demolition and racing. And that's fine with me. Love that shit. What else? I played Mafia 2. And I got to sit in on a little demo of Civ 5 that really didn't say much about the game itself. Said they were switching to the hexagonal movement stuff instead of just the squares. That was their big focus. Let's see what else. Mafia 2 was different looking than what I played at or what I saw at E3. E3 looked really good and polished and nice and, you know, great. It was a presentation for E3, and it was the only one they showed at E3. And this one was like actual gameplay, and there was like, oh, the fucking screen tearing was just abysmal. Mm. Watching this thing, it was, oh god, it was bad. It was really bad. The controls weren't nothing to write home about. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people say, like they say, it's GTA with horses for Red Dead Redemption. This is like, okay, it's GTA in the 1950s, 1940s, whatever. But that the screen tearing is just so fucking horrible. The voice acting's great. The voice acting's wonderful. The dialogue is just, I love it. I love what they have in there, but I don't know if I'll be able to watch it because of that. That's something they can fix. They got time to fix. It didn't come out until August. They got time to work on that. Saw a little bit of Puzzle Quest 2, but I'm not a real big Puzzle Quest guy, so I didn't know how to interpret it. I didn't know, you know, I couldn't say whether what they've done or what they've changed. But it was there. It's coming out this year. So, what else did I play? I played some Red Dead Redemption. That was fun. Your horse, I don't know if this has been mentioned in any of the new stuff. You can run outright as long as you want. Your guy does not get tired. Your horse does.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So you can only run your horse for ever so long before he throws you off of it. And there's a meter that you can watch to see how, you know, tired he's getting. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
I'm not a fan of weapons that wear out. I'm not a fan of having to eat food. I'm not a fan of putting gas in my vehicle. Yeah. I'm not a fan of horses that get tired.
I would rather have the trade-off of my guy getting tired rather than my horse because, I mean, it's the West.
There's going to be a lot of horse
riding. There's going to be a lot of fucking horse riding in this game to get from town to town. Mm-hmm. And they're going to give, you know, stamina to my horse. So.
Imagine if GTA 4, if you had to just pull into the gas station every now and then to, you know, get out and fill it up.
The shooting was great, though. Love the shooting. Love the gun selection in that. It's on a wheel like Mass Effect, that sort of thing, where you can switch your weapons and ammunition, that sort of thing. Shooting was great. The red eye or dead eye or whatever it's called. Bullet time was a nice touch with that as well. Only got about 10 minutes of that. It's 5 split between me and Coop. I played a little bit of it, and then he played some of it too. What else was played? There was one of those indie games that they had there. Steamboat Scrappers. This, you'll have to watch a video of this. It's very hard to describe. It's a combination of Smash Brothers, Puzzle Fighter, Tetris.
Okay.
I know. Very, very difficult to describe. I'm going to try to right now and tell you how this works. Two players on each side of the field. Each two players build their tower with Tetris pieces, basically. If you form a full square of those Tetris pieces, depending on their color, they become, if they're blue, they become a shield. If they're red, they become missiles. And if they're purple, they become lasers. So you want to build your tower enough that it attacks the other guy's tower.
Okay.
And that's what you're doing. Basically, that's how that works. Your two guys, these little fucking demon things show up, and they're the ones that give you the pieces, but you have to go beat them up. And they'll give you the pieces. But at the same time, the other team can fly over to you and beat your ass, steal your pieces, go and build their tower. And so this can go back and forth for a pretty good while. But tons of fun. It was a lot of fun. And there you go. And then I played Zombie Dice and liked it over everything else I played. So that was it. There you go. I didn't get a look at APB. I don't know if anybody got into the beta of that or tried to.
Dude, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen any of it.
I saw a video of it.
Jeremy and I watched a video of it where everybody was just an asshole. And it seemed kind of stupid. And the scenario in the video seemed only supportable if nobody did anything that made any sense. I didn't like it. And then it turns out it's not like, whatever. All of that, it's not even an MMO. It's just a multiplayer game.
It fell off my radar. I don't remember at what point it fell off my radar. I was actually looking forward to it some long time ago. It's
been a minute, dude.
But I don't know when it fell off my radar. But it was there, and I actually had no interest in it whatsoever. So I didn't get a chance to look at it. That was it, you know. Other than that, you had your Alienware was there with their too expensive shit. Triton headsets were there with their too expensive shit. And all sorts of other people. They had Dante's Inferno out there. Still. So. But that was it. It was a very small floor.
So I'm probably presenting that download content coming out later.
Yeah, it's what, next month? May?
I believe so.
Didn't see any indication of it being there, but yeah. I was going through, when I was installing Just Cause 2, I was going through my games to clear up some space on my hard drive, and came up to Dante's, and I was like, nope, you keep that. You keep that installed, because I still want to get back to that. Took out my Assassin's Creed 2, though. Deleted that off. I don't know when I'll get to the expansion, or the extra levels, or whatever.
Yeah, okay, I have to say that was good. Yeah. I liked that game.
Yep, that was a good game.
That one didn't disappoint me.
Yeah.
It disappointed me. It did at the end. But I mean, but that was good. That was a good, solid game. I was real happy to play that.
I'm going to do more of the Bad Company 2 multiplayer.
Dude, I'm so fucking God, I'm absolutely so on the fence about that because I've got it on both platforms. PC and 360.
The two can't play against each other, can they?
No, they can't. You can't share stats. So I get kind of torn between...
Now, I can look at my friends list and see how many people are playing this shit, and ain't that many. What are you looking at on the PC?
The PC's different, dude.
Well, I know.
The PC's totally fucking different. There are a lot of motherfuckers playing that shit on dedicated fucking servers.
Then I would stick with your PC, then.
Well, I put more time into the console version just because it's easier to kind of dive into.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Not give a shit about anything. But it's also very frustrating playing with random assholes. Kevin picked that up on the PC, and I can't go a day without reading any of my particularly PC centric blogs, all of whom really like to talk about their server, the Ars Technica server or the RPS server or something like that, and how proud they are of it, how much they really like what it's turning into, and I'm like, God fucking damn it. Is absolutely where I should be. Let me fucking around the console with this shit. I should absolutely be playing on the PC. Yeah. Making a home on a couple of different servers or something like that.
So what keeps you going back to the console?
It's just easy. Plus, I still have kind of sometimes very spotty performance on the PC.
I have friends that, I see playing and I'll jump in on their game.
A few people jump in with me. At which point the game gets better.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that it's a better game than Bad Company 1. I haven't played a ton. I like that they slowed down the leveling progression a little bit, but it seems kind of sloggy.
I dinged at 14 last night.
Yeah.
So I'm working on
it. It's not so much character level, it's kind of like a lot of the class specific stuff. The place where I'm sort of stuck at like and can't move to love is the map design. I'm not 100% in love with the maps. I really yearn for some of the maps from the first game.
You're not the only one I've heard say that. I've heard a couple people say.
Really good. Like, I miss the fuck out of Harvest. I miss the fucking shit out of Oasis. Like, there's no... I don't know. Some of those maps are just really, they're just really good, dude. They're really, really, really good maps.
What keeps them from, releasing those maps? What's the reason that they can't just...
Putting them in two?
Yeah.
Like releasing
or, them as, or making it downloadable or whatever.
That's just what I'm saying. Making them, yeah. Making them a part of two.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is not a technical problem.
Okay. I just don't understand because that seems like, you know, maybe it can't really be a true bullet point on the box of like, hey, it's got this much content if you just throw it in the old maps. But it seems like...
Well, throwback maps. I forget what game did that. They had, you know, throwback to an earlier game, you know, some of their maps, and it was pretty cool.
It just seems like the more content, the better. Yeah. That's all. And if you've already got that, you don't have to do anything to it. I don't know.
Do a little bit to it, I'm sure. But
Maybe. You
know. I don't know. I thought that some of those maps became very iconic, and I liked them a great deal. And I know that it's familiarity, but I know that I also know that relatively early on, I had gotten to a point where I really liked them.
Mm.
And the Bad Company 2 maps, I'm having a really hard time getting totally comfortable and happy with. You know, I see a lot more exploitative behavior. And as much as I might have thought that it was gone for a minute, the dominance of certain particular things. Like, I'm so fucking sick and goddamn tired of that piece of shit UAV. It drives me out of my mind. Because now people don't even, like, shoot you with it anymore. They fucking lawnmower you to death with it. They fly down there and they run you over with the UAV. And because it's damn near indestructible, like, and moves around too fast, they can't do anything to it. They just run down there and, like, fucking, you know, diddle your goddamn head off. And you're dead. And it's great. And I love that a whole lot. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's really, I don't know, whatever. And I just don't love the environments enough to deal with it. So, maybe things are a little different in the PC world. I mean, I don't know, I haven't played there a whole lot. I mean, some of the maps are really, like, killer cool. They're good. I don't love them yet.
They haven't become what those maps in the first have become. Yeah. And you're always looking for that. You know, you're always looking... I remember playing Halo 1 and just, you know, finding my sweet spots and enjoying my maps. And then Halo 2 was like, oh, fuck, now I gotta figure this all out over again. Yeah. Some of these work, some of these don't work. They realized, well, in these first maps, we realized we left a lot of little holes here and there for people to get some, you know, exploits or whatever the case, just in the map itself. So we're going to take those out. And then it was, you know. But you're always looking for that same feeling you got the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just, I mean, exploits I can deal with. That's whatever, you know. That stuff doesn't bother me especially much. It's just, there can be certain really, really strong feelings about loving the environment, like loving each, and particularly like with Rush mode, like loving each stage of the event differently. And I haven't yet gotten into a game and been, like, totally happy. Like, ah, oh, it's great. I love this map. I've not yet had that thought at all in Bad Company 2. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's this map. You know? I don't love it. I don't hate it. Just, yeah. Here it is. You know? The man when, like, fucking Harvest would pop in BC1. Or, I don't remember the names of a lot of them, but, like, it's a couple of them. And, it'd show up and I would be very, very happy. Because there were so many interesting things I could do. I can hide in a bush, be a sniper. I can be anti-tank. You know, or I can, like, I know the exact path to go up and be spec ops and, like, drop some C4 and blow up the gold crate. It was good. Still feel it. So, who knows? And maybe it's part and parcel of this other shit. You know, all the other stuff I don't like right now. I don't know. Don't know why I'm sitting around on a video game podcast and talk about why I don't like fucking video games anymore.
Well, Dennis, we haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah. I've done a bunch.
I'm sure. I don't know how long it's actually been since we've talked to you.
2 months almost?
In fact, I think the last game was Silent Hill, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe some Darksiders. No, it wasn't even Darksiders.
No, because I got Darksiders like right after, you know, stuff started happening on Friday. It's like, well... That's what my only job is, so I couldn't come up here.
Fuck.
Mostly what I've been playing is Final Fantasy 13. And it was better than I expected, which I had really low expectations for it. I was not liking
it. You're on the 360 with it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, they're changing everything, and all this, and man, reminds me of 12, and I didn't like 12's gameplay at all.
Are you burnt out on the Final Fantasy series? Like, you know, a lot of people are. Like, I am.
I enjoy it. Mostly what I'm enjoying is more of the side stuff, like tactics. And every so often one of the Crystal Chronicles games now. But as far as the main series, after 10, I was pretty much kind of, eh. And 10, I really wasn't that enthused about. I was like, yeah, okay, it's first Final Fantasy on PS2. Yay! And that was about it. I was about done with it after I beat it.
Alright.
Yeah, 11, 12, didn't care about. And 13, it was like, you know, you only get to control one party member. The other two are AI control, but it actually works out really well, believe it or not. Because basically, you can change your classes for your guys in the middle of battle. It's pretty much your big option as far as it goes. And that affects what abilities they can use at that particular time. Like, if you set somebody to medic, the only thing they're going to use is, like, healing spells. They're not going to, like, take a break and, like, cast fire or blizzard on somebody. It's like they're healing, and that's bloody well it. And it worked really well. It is linear, much like how 10 was, and it eventually gets to a big open area, bigger than it was in, like, 10. And near the end, it just kind of got repetitive. And it's still enjoyable story. Yeah, it's all right. And there was nothing about it that made me go, I'm really glad I played this game. I was like, it's an all right game, compared to some stuff that's come out there before. And I think it's worth a rental for anybody. I'm going to keep it, at least.
Alright.
Just since I actually got some enjoyment out of Final Fantasy in, what, 4 years now? I think that's about right.
I just played it because it was pretty.
Yeah, it is really pretty, too.
Just played it because it looked pretty. And I played it as far as I could play it before I was like, all right, I've seen enough pretty. I don't really want to play anymore.
That's the interesting thing. It is pretty.
Oh, God. It's beautiful.
But, you know, if there's something else calling to you, it's not going to be...
Yeah. I just kept going to see what the next place would look like, that sort of thing. And I'm sure there's even better stuff ahead. I stopped at chapter fucking 4, so, you know. I think that's where I stopped, but... It was after I beat that first... whatever, those two chicks that turned into a motorcycle?
Yeah, the
I had to play that like five fucking times. I don't ever want to do that again.
Man, you got five more of those fucking kind of battles.
Well, that's great.
And it's bullshit.
I did it once and I was done, so that's great.
That was pretty much my only real negative with that system was those battles where it's like you have to do certain actions to get your meter built up for your like little summon guy. Each character has their own individual summon.
But you only get a certain amount of time to do it.
Yeah, they basically, you know, what is it, Doom. They cast Doom on you. You have, like, X amount of time to get your little meter built up so you can, like, successfully join with them and have them as a summon. Otherwise, they kill you dead.
Sounds pretty cheap.
Yeah. I mean, once you figure out what you're supposed to do, it gets pretty easy, but it's getting there, and it's always under the wire. Like, you just have a handful of seconds left before, you know, you're about to just eat it right there. Is when you can activate your little gestalt meter or whatever it is.
Yeah, I just don't need that.
Yeah.
I don't need
those
kind
of
stress.
Those are battles where I was like, God, I'm tired of this. But overall, it's worth trying out.
Yeah,
I was ready to discount it right away before I played it. Yeah, I'm glad I played it overall.
Yeah, well, good.
I'm gonna hit the user stuff, the listener stuff now.
Yeah.
Let's see. You can go into the tweets here. I don't know. I can't even remember which tweets we've done and which we haven't. I don't think we've done this one, though. Dark Lord James sent us a tweet damn near a month ago and says that Rorik is an awesome name, RJ.
Yeah, thank you much. Credit my parents for that one.
I thought you would enjoy that. Showdown 2020 says, hey guys, have you heard of Deadly Premonition? It's $1,000 worth of crazy survival horror camp for $20.
I've heard of that. I'm interested in it. Yeah.
Is it still $20? I know there was a sale going on.
I was sale, but I don't know if it's still sale. There. I thought it was a
default price or something.
Kyrie says, pretend for 1 minute that Valve and Steam get sold.
Get sold to
who? I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe that's part of what we're pretending. I think they should be sold to Jason West and Vince Zampella.
Segway achieved. And then
I really don't think that should happen. Actually, I don't know. I think Gabe should buy their asses. And then do what? I still don't know. I don't know. They got sold, man. I don't know. They fucking own their own selves, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
And everything that they don't deal with through Steam, they deal with using EA partners. Like, top of the fucking world, man.
Yeah, I can't imagine a Valve or Steam without Gabe's influence.
Well, not just that. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. I mean, groups that you would think have absolutely no need for money, have absolutely no need for a relationship with someone else.
Like Blizzard and Activision.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how those things work. I don't have a clue. It's not a pleasant thought because Valve's really only able to do what they do because they don't owe shit to anybody, you know? They're customers. That's the only people they owe anything to, and they treat them pretty good. So, fuck. Thanks for making me imagine something really horrible. I'm going to try to clear my mind with pleasant thoughts of asteroids and Ebola virus.
Ravenlock says, I wrote about it over here if you want to read it, but bottom line is one of you should try Red Steel 2. And don't play it sitting on the couch either. It's a make room and stand up game. Feels like an arcade game that never was.
Matt.
You saw my Wii.
I'll give it back to you. Take it to California.
I would give it a shot if I had a Wii Motion Plus, but...
Didn't one come with a game? Well, I guess not when you rent it.
Yeah, that's kind of thing. Yeah, it looks interesting enough.
Which is strange, because when I rent it, I remember back in... In 64 days, if you rented Donkey Kong 64 or whatever, they gave you the little rumble shit.
Oh yeah, that's where you rented it. Shit started getting shipped out
back
to your house.
Yeah. I remember renting an N64.
Yeah. Renting a Dreamcast.
The big, big fucking like crazy like black box.
Black suitcase thing.
Case. Yep.
I remember trying to rent a PlayStation and then telling me I either had to have a credit card or put down like a $200 deposit. I was like, man, fuck you. Just wanted to play some Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, is all.
I just want some GoldenEye.
Is it GoldenEye?
Y'all got that Madden?
Y'all got that Madden? Nabokov Fan 87 says, Arg, I was all waiting to download one tomorrow. In response to us not having a show. In fact, the rest of these have to do with us not having a show. Seavercat says, happily puts down Rake. Looking forward to it and miss you guys. TC Bowden says, rest assured, you miss another week, they will be whining and crying.
Well, it's okay, because if you've listened up to this point in the show, there's already been plenty of whining and crying. It's really the only place we are right now. As of this minute, an hour and 17 minutes worth of whining and crying. Well, I'm old. I don't like video games. They're not cool like they were before 3D acceleration.
Frank J. Cohn, who has no one but us, members of his family, and Garnet Lee on his list, says, I really hope this will be an epic-sized episode. I have a flight on Thursday, and nothing makes time fly. Lime a good podcast. Like a good podcast. He's the guy that says, you know,
that.
We can't...
That was kind of a dick move, Scott. You could have just read that the way it was intended.
I read it as it's written. You know that.
No, you don't.
No.
You almost never do.
Claim that shit again.
Yeah, that's true.
You've butchered plenty of acceptable and very, very good English.
Frank, my apologies.
To not fucking high horse
your way
over somebody's Twitter
post. Yeah, you
can't
be calling other people
out on airs, man. This is the same guy. I'm trying to move on. This is the same guy that said that it's impossible to download our show in third world countries. And now I've gone.
I think I'm kind of sad about that.
I don't know where the fuck I am. There we go. And Brock,
say why it's impossible to download our show in third world.
He wrote us an email. I don't remember, but he wrote us an email about.
There's a fatwa on our shit.
Oh, God damn it.
In fact, that's what he said.
I was able to get in Iraq.
Huh?
I was able to get the show in Iraq.
On a military base.
Yeah, but still.
No,
military bases are third world countries of their own.
Oh, whatever.
Not as much as the third world country the base is located in. Brock writes in and says, hurry back, we miss you. Where else will my kids learn new and exciting profanity?
Public service we enjoy.
Yes. So there you go. Those are the tweets. On to the emails. And there's lots of them. Doogie2K writes in, hey guys, with the announcement of Civ 5, I'm reminded of another game that needs to be added to the list of games that should really be remade, get a sequel at some point, Alpha Centauri. I know it was basically Civ 2.5, made because Firaxis couldn't make Civ games at the time, but I really like the idea of ideological factions rather than national ones and how they were fleshed out in the flavor text of the various technologies. I also enjoyed completely breaking things by getting a conquest victory as the university, and an ascension victory as the Spartans. I also thought it was neat that they took advantage of the setting to present a sort of narrative surrounding the sentient planet, something that could never be done with civilization. I don't know how a sequel would be handled with that in mind, but I'm not convinced I care either. I just want to see how AC would look with a modern interpretation in the Civ 5 or even Civ 4 engine. I'm sure there's a fan mod out there somewhere, but I don't want a fan mod. I want Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri 2. Firaxis has a rather substantial fund in my trust bank, so I'd rather they did it than anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget a sequel, man. Just do it again.
Yeah.
Actually, just, no, do it again. Go again.
Just give me the same 8 factions, yep. Update it, and I'm done. I'm good. I'm sold. Sale right there.
That was strong money shit back when it came out, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, not that it's deteriorated necessarily with age, but, like, that's a big deal. That was back when I used to sell people video games.
That's funny because I was just thinking like 2 days ago, I was like, man, I really want to load up some Alpha Centauri right
now.
It
occurs to me every now and then that it's from a time and place, you know, that we were kind of very much the time and place we were talking about earlier. Like, things like that don't exactly happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Damn shame.
Mm-hmm.
That's my cue. He also says, P.S. Hey, speaking of sentient planets orbiting Alpha Centauri, I don't remember you guys ever doing an Avatar spoiler section. I kept waiting for James to eviscerate it on air, but I've yet to have the
privilege.
Did I
not? How did I not do that? We didn't talk about it, did we?
No,
we
did.
You never saw it, not that you needed to. But
what?
Did you ever go see Avatar?
Look, man, I appreciate you trust my talents to eviscerate the shit out of something I've never seen. But when I tell you, yeah, I never did get around to eviscerating it, did I? That does mean I went and saw it.
Yeah. When the fuck did you go?
I don't... Back a minute ago. Back yeah. When? Over at the time.
In the place.
In the
I don't the ever remember. I remember... I don't remember
with the
that.
Glasses.
I had to go fucking Pratt, though, because they fucking quit showing that shit.
Damn.
It was like 3 weeks after, 4 weeks after it came out. It quit showing in 3D in Montgomery, so I had a good prep.
Wow.
It was the only time I've ever seen a movie in Prattville that it didn't absolutely make me
up.
Fucking rage ass on my way out to theater.
Doogie says, I enjoyed the movie thoroughly.
Which is interesting because like I raged ass for the whole 3.5 hours during the movie. But just not
just
because
not
of
the theater.
Not,
so.
Not the
not
quality
the
of the
aspects
of the display.
Of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not entirely true, but that's not entirely true.
He says he enjoyed the movie thoroughly, brain disengaged, but nonetheless acknowledged its stunning mediocrity in the non-technical departments.
Oh, so it was, yeah. whatever, man. They were in the fucking trees too much. That was the biggest problem with the tech, is that, like, it's like I have no context for it. What the Na'vi were and, like, how beautiful this environment's supposed to be. It all looked like, you know, fucking goofy-ass anime graphics or something. Like, it was all so lush and so dense.
Remind me that
so
world saturated. In episode 3. That, you know, the crazy, not Felucia, but, you know, in Revenge of the Sith.
Episode 3, I get it. I'm trying to remember which one you're talking about.
The Twilight Jedi, the one where she got, you know, shot at.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean...
Like that, with the...
Yeah, it was with the plants and the vines and
Willy
the
Wonka
things.
Had,
and
you know, gone into world building.
Yeah.
I can totally see him doing that.
I mean, it wasn't a problem necessarily, although... it was one of the technical aspects of the film that really did bug me, is that there's so many layers to the jungle, so many different... When you're talking about building a 3D scene, you know, you're working in all of these different layers. And the jungle itself is so... The texture depth is so extreme that the 3D really couldn't do it justice. I felt like I was walking through kind of like a shadowbox jungle, because... You know, the characters stood out, and a lot of the foreground and mid-ground activity was really good, and I could see all this. But by the time, when you're having a lot of shots, like, through the dense jungle, and it sort of breaks through to the background looked flat as hell, man. It looked like a psych or something. You know, it looked like a fucking, what do you call them shits that they don't do anymore? A matte painting.
Okay.
You know? Because the 3D no longer had the ability to continue to render layer after layer of depth, and it just sort of failed there, and I didn't like it. But I mean, that's nitpicky, but the problem was that there was so much fucking time spent either with the Na'vi or with the humans, and you never really had a chance to appreciate. It was very easy to forget what the Na'vi were, that these motherfuckers are like 10-12 feet tall. And the fact that they're zipping around the jungle like, you know, a bunch of goddamn monkeys. Like, and they're also 12 feet tall. And then the things they're riding on make them look like little tiny fucking things. Like, you lose all of the perspective of that because you never see them in relationship to humans. You know? And I didn't like that. But, God, I shouldn't even say those things. Those things are just next to nothing compared to what a fucking... bucket of turd the whole movie was. In terms of, I mean, it was horrible, dude. It was my biggest problem with the whole film is that they wanted to absolutely rip this entire fucking culture out of the ground to get it like some element, you know, whatever. And I don't like made up elements either, but that's another thing entirely.
Oh, yeah. I forget which element it was, but the name was just...
It was unobtainium.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
How could you forget something so fucking stupid?
I try and block it out of my mind, you know?
It's been used before, but as a joke. But yeah. These motherfuckers were absolutely straight-faced, serious as hell.
I swear.
And it was just... But it was... Whatever. I mean, it's fine. You want... It's fine, dude.
We no, all, no, you. I said just... it's the first time I'd heard unobtainium in a while. And every time I hear the word,
first time
I just...
I've ever heard it.
Oh, my God.
It's... I mean... Yeah. I mean, it... Whatever, dude. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, that's fine. It's stupid as hell. And it's stupid. And I get that it's a Native American metaphor or that it's a compromised indigenous peoples. I get that. I mean, that's sad as fuck that this is the best he can do. But whatever, set that shit aside. The problem is that they are just ravenous, salivating over the opportunity to just rape these fuckers off of their land. When it becomes obvious, there is a certain point at which you learn, yeah, you know, okay, yeah, it fucking like sucks when you plow under a bunch of goddamn trees and then raise cows on the fucking pasture land you create. Like, that's stupid. You know, yes, it sucks to deforest South America, but this had kind of an added sort of thing to it, is that you're not just plowing under sacred trees. It turns out that the sacred tree is an unprecedented and heretofore completely unknown mechanism for biological networking. That's what the whole goddamn thing was about. That it isn't sacred. It's actually, I mean, it is to the people, but But there is an interconnectedness, a real physical, biological networking and interconnectedness to all of these different things. And any truly warmongering or profiteering, money-grubbing son of a bitch would recognize it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And its potential, both in warfare or for profit. But the antagonists were drawn, like, I don't know, man, what's sadder than one-dimensional? Like, what's worse than that? They were drawn so poorly that never made inroads. Like, there was an actual point in the movie where they're like, no, they're not just trees. They're trees that store, biologically, the some knowledge of their people. At which point it's like, oh, holy shit. We've never heard of anything like that. Let's exploit it.
Yeah.
No. Fuck it. We're still going to, like, burn the shit out of their forests and stuff and whatever. You know, it was stupid. You know, and in the end, like, whatever, the goddamn blue people, like, kick all the humans off of their land and everything, and it's great. And I can tell you what the sequel is. The sequel is a 5-minute YouTube clip of these guys coming back with the real military and glassing the shit out of that whole planet. That's the sequel. Yeah. Nuke them from orbit, because it's the only way to be sure. You know, and it's just, but whatever. Like, that was just my big problem. It was the big think fail of the movie for me. It was beautiful to look at. It was wonderful to watch, man. It was absolutely just a treat to not care. But I haven't had to work so hard at not caring in a really long time. And I don't even mean to be an asshole about that. Said it enough. I don't want to waste my fucking, $12? Whatever the hell it cost me to see that movie. You know? But, like, wise old boy going to go on and on about, like... Well, he didn't go on and on. But, like, apparently the primary danger, right, of these things, of these fucking bad motherfuckers, these big giant blue shits, right, is that they've got these arrows they'll shoot you with. And these motherfucking arrows are poisonous because they put a poison on the end of these arrows that'll kill you in, like, less than a minute. So worry about the poison because the poison sucks. Turns out, because of this difference in scale that you really don't get to see until the end of the movie, the arrows are the size of fucking telephone poles. Who gives a shit what kind of fucking poison is on the end of a telephone pole when it goes through your fucking chest? Why didn't he say, watch out for these blue motherfuckers, because they're the size of fucking buildings, and the arrows are the size of the drive shaft off a semi. So when they shoot you with it, and it blows you into lots of small pieces for how big it is, you're not going to have time to worry about the fucking point. Like, what the fuck, man? Because I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, the poison. And then the first time I see one of these cocksuckers get shot by an arrow at the end of the movie, I was like, Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. It was great. I was like, seriously?
The poison? It's just a flesh wound, but man, that poison. Yeah.
You know? Like, if I had a thorax left, I'd be really concerned about the poison going to where my heart used to be. I was just, I mean, whatever. You know, that didn't make the movie suck, but it was just a clear indication of, like, you know, you pay attention to your fucking movie anymore. You know? And then there was, like, all the bad science. Because there was some good science. You know? I mean, the Na'vi are, like, really, really giant. And they obviously have, like, low body density and stuff. And they're on, apparently, a very, because it's a moon. You know? It's like all Yavin 4. That's what it was, a moon around a big jet gas giant thing. Which, you know, whatever. Life on a moon around a gas giant. I'm not too necessarily too hot about that idea. That's questionable. I didn't understand why nobody could breathe the atmosphere. That kind of pissed me off. I don't know if that bothered anybody. It was like, humans couldn't breathe it. The air was toxic, apparently. And the Na'vi could breathe it. My problem was, like, I mean, it's going to sound stupid, but it sort of looked okay. Plants were green. You know, like, there are a lot of indicators which are going to tell you kind of what the atmosphere is made of, and the plants are one of those things. And obviously there's a lot of, like, green chlorophyll going on and stuff like that. So any situation where
tree trunks were brown. I mean, it all.
Yeah, there's like photosynthesis.
Sounds
yeah,
like the problem is you're expecting
water was
science in your movie.
No, I really was, because they were putting it out there, and it obviously wasn't overtly toxic, because all they had to have were breathing masks.
Yeah,
their skin could still be exposed. So it was just there was something in the air that wasn't good, and it was like, well, but I mean, I didn't know, and it just kind of pissed me off because it seemed like a stupid device, you know, that they used in a few places. That just, it was whatever. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you can wank the science around until it behaves the way you want it to. But mostly, it just couldn't figure out which cliche it wanted to be at any given point in time. Yeah. And military's bad, and people who mine things are bad. And all indigenous peoples are the most important thing ever. And like, that's the great evil, is what we're always doing is raping indigenous cultures. It's like, whatever. Yeah. You know, like, that's not good. Like, I'm not promoting that idea, but fuck's sake, man. Like,
tired of the white colonist guilt.
Do what?
I'm tired of the white colonist
guilt.
Yeah,
and like, but that's so, come on, dude. Like, if we're going to believe that that's a genuine evil, you cannot go the extra step of believing that every single participant was complicit. Like, What sorts of evils do you think 100 years from now our descendants will go out of their mind trying to justify with who we said we were? How do you justify slavery in a time of people who could write something as elevating as you know? No, I'm not even talking, but just like the United States Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. Yeah. But like, how do you do that? How do, out of one side of your mouth, do you do that? And then out of the other side, send commands to your slave. Like, how do you do that? It's obviously, I don't want to say it's more complicated than that, but geez, it's really more complicated than that. So I don't like the use of colonist guilt to create an evil, because it is more complicated than that. There are cultural factors beyond our understanding, obviously beyond our weighing, because we're damn near incapable of weighing them even here and now, if we could be made aware of them. So 100 years from now, we're going to be guilty of some sort of sin that we can't even identify at the moment.
Because, you know, we're living in this time.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. So I've just always thought that that's an extremely cheap way of delivering evil into your story, is by calling back to this shit that from a remove of anywhere from 100 to 400 years looks despicable, but isn't good evil because of that. It's bad. I don't like it, you know. Or if you're going to tell that story, fuck, dude, if you're going to be Dances with Wolves, be fucking Dances with Wolves. If you want to talk about the mishandling of indigenous peoples, then do that.
Yeah.
Don't invent some metaphor for something that's perfectly well told in a literal way.
Twice before.
Yeah. Dude, it's just, science fiction has always been really, really good at illuminating our problems. The problems we have right now. I'm sorry, but that is not a problem right now.
Yeah.
I suppose you could maybe make a comparison to, I mean, does Cameron think that that's what we're doing in the Middle East right now? Because, I don't know. Of all the people who are profiting off of oil wealth, it's, I don't want to say it's the indigenous peoples, but it's certainly the governments, the indigenous governments, more than we are. So, whatever. It's fucking politics and it doesn't matter. It just goes to the point that it was just such a horribly drawn in antagonist.
We waited, 13 years for a James Cameron movie, and this is what we get.
Dude, so far up his own ass.
Yeah.
He's just absolutely coming out his own fucking throat. Just a miserable, ridiculous old anti-establishment motherfucker who makes a $1 trillion movie.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be anti-establishment
when you're,
if you can make a $1 trillion movie.
Well, both movies, you know, that and Titanic are the two top-selling movies of
all
time.
Not allowed to do that. You are forever banned from having a hippie attitude when your shit runs into the hundreds of millions of dollars. You have to fuck off and die now. So, I don't know. Whatever. Go back to being like pissed off and make me another Terminator film or something.
Really?
Or Aliens or some shit. I don't fucking know.
True Lies 2.
True Lies is pretty great. Whatever, I don't know. I watched it, dude, and it's complicated as hell. It's a really complicated movie.
Yeah.
But like because of all those things, like, God, your tech is fucking amazing. Your story's a piece of shit.
But you're a pretty shit.
And the other thing is, a lot of people don't recognize it as being a piece of shit.
They don't.
You know? Particularly on the media side of things, and I don't think that's especially good.
When I first saw it the week it came out, man, I couldn't find anybody that was... It was hard to find anyone who felt the way I felt about it, which was like I didn't like it.
When I saw it with really my family, and you know, my parents were like, oh, my mom's like, oh, that was amazing, that's so great.
It's
like,
not amazing.
Well, visually, it was pretty, but I mean, you know, I saw it before with, you know, Last Samurai, Dancing with Wolves. I'm just tired of that, you know.
All of which were context sensitive and quite good.
Well, yeah, because
if you're going to run to a metaphor, I don't think that's a very good one to run to.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend this kind of money, if you're trying to illuminate a problem, let's illuminate a problem. Like, let's fucking commit to that shit. And I don't know. It just felt like a major waste. It was really pretty to watch, mm-hmm. but I'm sort of the opinion that if your bad guy is that stupid, then what victory have you really won? You know, if your goal is to present, you know, fuck it, dude. It was more interesting to watch the goddamn Ewoks beat up stormtroopers. And that's all this movie was Ewoks beating up stormtroopers.
Yeah.
But, like, them little shits, like, smashed AT-STs and, like, you know, it's... One of them with sticks and rocks and things, and that was a hell of a lot more fun. Watching some little Ewok steal a speeder bike was infinitely more amusing than anything in that piece of shit movie.
Yeah.
And they had like fucking green screens and midgets in fursuits, man. Like, and that's a big problem for me, is that you spent this kind of coin and you can't one-up midgets in fursuits? Like, what the fuck are you playing at, dude, that you can't even do that? You got guys in plastic fucking armor, and like, you know, whatever. And you can't get up on that shit. Fuck you.
Yeah. I kind of wish that, in a way, that the Na'vi were bigger, and that, you know, this little power armor suit they had to be in was also taller. Kind of, you know, go back to the whole Micronian Robotech.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're in that
Zintretti
suit.
Versus
yeah, Zintretti. You know, yeah, like, because cool. When you see, like, you know, the, you know, Rick Hunter and his little, Veritech, you're like, oh, that's so awesome. But when you see it next to it, Zentral, you're like, holy crap, you see how small you really are compared to their size.
Yeah.
And it makes sense of having that, you know, having the suit there. Whereas, you know, their little gorilla suits were just, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
At most.
I mean, whatever. It was absolutely a pleasure to watch. And every time I would start thinking about it, I was like, goddamn thinking. Can't stop that shit. Just fucking it up, you know. But whatever. I thought it was complete turd.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Mitchell Strand writes in and says, I'm listening to the Lizard Wizard episode, and you guys are covering everything from my last email. I consider my questions answered. Also, regarding Infinity Ward, I agree with James. You can't be dicks to the people who own you and not expect to be publicly called out and then executed. However, those two guys' inability to inspire sympathy in no way stops Bobby Kotick from being a douchebag. Cheers, Mitch.
A well-timed email.
yeah. That he wrote almost a month ago.
Yeah, so what's the story up to now?
Lawsuits everywhere.
That's not uncommon. That's, you know,
yeah.
Whatever. I mean, countersuit is a lot of times how you work toward defense. You know, it's part of your defense, and that's just kind of how business is done.
It's almost SOP.
Yeah, I don't begrudge any of the suits just because it's like, man, what the fuck? What are you gonna do? You know. Obviously, somebody is responsible for breach of contract.
Yeah, and I think the two sides in the Reader's Digest version are, they say they wanted to get out of paying us our royalties, so they canned us and came up with a reason for it. And Activision's like, well, you guys were courting EA and like holding up development of our shit, so we canned you.
They also said that they were in support. Basically, they were being shitbags.
Right. And you know what?
That shit's self-evident.
Yeah.
That's in the public sphere, man. Those guys are dicks.
I can believe both sides. I think they're both dicks. So, yeah. Sure, man. And let's see, what was it? Somebody pointed out that there's no Activision logo in Modern Warfare.
That's something that I didn't know, which unfortunately, or it doesn't matter which way you look at it, lends a lot of credence to Activision being kind of pissed off, is that none of their publisher logos appeared in Modern Warfare 2. And looking back to the whole thing, which we all sort of overlooked, a year ago when they announced the game, and they're like, no, it's just Modern Warfare 2. Totally just going Modern Warfare. They're dropping that Call of Duty shit. And then, like, Call of Duty kind of shows back up in the title, and then it goes away and shows back up, and there's a lot of disagreement. It's like, that's interesting, you know. Which, in light of all this crap,
over
the past couple of months, like, makes total sense. And really, from my guess is more evidence for them being dicks, is that they were trying to rebrand one of their properties right out from under Activision.
Yeah.
It's like, no, see, if we don't call it Call of Duty, we can take it with us. You fucking idiots. Like, maybe that's not what they were trying to do, but it kind of seems like that's what they were trying to do.
It feels that way. And, so, you know, someone else also pointed out for you that, you know, you don't hear any of the developers that worked on the thing, you know, really stand up for these guys, say, no, really, they're not that bad to work with, or, you know, they weren't really dicks about it, you know.
No, they're dicks.
Yeah.
They're dicks to their fan base, and they were, like, you know.
I can believe that they're cool to the guys they worked with. And from what I've heard, like three Infinity Ward higher up guys have quit. Wouldn't be surprised to see them turn up at the new place.
Those guys were also not the only ones at the top of the heap. They're not the only ones who came over. So there, it should be expected that they're going to have compatriots. Mm-hmm. So I don't. I mean, it doesn't. Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. Call of Duty's staying exactly where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just look at it critically. These guys only know how to do one thing. In tiny, with small changes. They have only ever made one kind of game.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they have their own thing, which is so just absolutely fucking dorm room, dude. Respawn Entertainment? Like, come on, seriously? You're going to name your shit? Like... Based on your little tete-a-tete with Bobby Kotick, like that's what you're gonna do. That's just it's fucking stupid. Like it's so stupid. The whole thing is dumb. But like you can't even be serious about your fucking company.
When they split off from who was it EA the first time and formed Infinity Ward. What?
It was just some cool work.
Yeah, it was just that's it. There was no hearkening back to that I know of. There was nothing that related to anything that had gone on.
Yeah.
You know, just a name, but then
it's
they
like
did
you're
this.
Trying to punk your enemy in your newest rap or something. It's like what the fuck? It's just stupid. And then like they're in a relationship with EA Partners, which is still something that I don't fully understand how EA Partners exactly works. They have total IP control over their stuff, but EA retains the rights, the exclusive rights to publish and distribute. Which basically means that if they ever separate from each other, nothing will fucking happen to the franchise. Because they're the only ones who can make it, and EA is the only one who can distribute it. I'm assuming that's the only purpose of that agreement.
Yeah.
Like, they get to hold on to the name, but they can't distribute it. So, I mean, I don't know. It's so far above me, it's too complicated. There's a lot of legal challenge in there. It just seems just so dumb. And so messy, and I sincerely think that we'll see that the first Call of Duty was the high water mark for their careers.
Yeah, I remember getting just on a personal note, just being pissed at them when they had that video out about basically knocking the whole grenade spam. I'm like, if you're putting grenade spam in that, and then you make a video about it, saying how terrible it is, don't do it.
That was really childish. I don't think that was the biggest problem, but. I mean, we went over that shit a long time ago. So, I just don't like them. I don't like the way they handle themselves publicly.
It's been a long history of that, I think.
I'm all for, just saying whatever the fuck you want to say. But, I'm also not trying to, sell my product.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just don't like them. I don't like the way that they appear to have deviated so heavily from what they used to do, what they used to claim was very important. They seem to really be led around by something that I can't see, money or some shit. I just don't like them. I don't like them as guys. And if we can collect them all under one roof, it makes them easier for me to ignore.
Yeah, and avoid.
Meanwhile, Call of Duty will go on, because don't nobody anywhere fucking know who these guys are. Not, I mean, not really.
Not they know based a name. On
the percentage of, they don't, man, they don't even know the fucking developer.
Yeah.
These fucking people don't know.
That's what I'm saying. They know the name. Is Call, yeah. Got Call of Duty on the box? All right.
Yeah.
Of course, now it's like, does that Modern Warfare on the box? But they'll still take
it. Dude, know. I'm telling you, like, for that brief stand of time I had to do in retail last year, like, fucking, like, World of War meant a lot. A lot of motherfuckers liked that game. A lot. Mm. And they just couldn't, man, didn't, none of them, not a fucking one of them, know who made that game.
Nope.
It doesn't matter. It does not fucking matter. Activision's got everything they need from you. You made the name. I mean, you did. You did a good job, like, making that name, but fuck you.
Yeah.
Go make a new name. See what you can do with it. You know? Whatever.
Next email. Theodore writes in and says, "Hey guys, a few weeks ago Jeremy mentioned, with regards to Mass Effect 2, that he didn't want to have to use his imagination when he's playing a game. I get what he's saying, but..."
I say some stupid shit.
"I get what he's saying, but in a lot of cases I think games benefit from not being explicit in their presentation. I'm not trying to say Jeremy was wrong. The remark just got me thinking. In Oblivion, picking a lock involves playing a minigame, which I presume is trying to make you feel like you're actually picking a lock. I don't think it works. In Deus Ex, picking a lock is much simpler. You just whip out a lockpick and start picking away. The animation which plays is just symbolic. Unlocking a door you have the key for is basically the same thing. You just grab the keychain, unlock the door, it's two clicks. The reason I think this is better is because even though the animation is very simple and your key presses don't correlate to the action in any meaningful way, your thought process does correlate. When you walk up to a locked door, you have the key. You have the key, for in real life, you note that it's locked and reach for your key. The act of unlocking the door is as mechanical as walking, and it's as pointless to simulate in the game. That's also why it's different from a context-sensitive interactive button. Pressing E to set a charge in Call of Duty is pointless because there's no thought behind it. I'm not saying Deus Ex has immersive lockpicking or whatever, but all the ways in which you can interact with the world make sense, and the entire game world is constructed out of and populated by things that behave in a logical and consistent way. Even though it doesn't have an immersive audio-visual presentation like a lot of games do, it immerses the part of your mind that thinks about how you should solve a problem. The trend in games is to go for a convincing presentation, but that tends to come at the expense of interactivity. I prefer more interactivity. If the presentation is crude, like in the case of Deus Ex, my imagination can fill in the blanks. Some people say it's a great game because of the choice that it offers you, but lots of other games offer choices too. Fallout 3's choice to disarm or detonate the bomb in Megaton is something that gets talked about a lot, but it's so artificial. The game more or less asks you straight up what you want to do. Let's compare that with something from Deus Ex. When you turn on, and I'm going to say this wrong probably, UNATCO?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
How would you say that wrong?
It looks like, confusing.
Like UNATCO.
Billy Goat?
Yeah.
UNATCO.
And return to your brother's apartment. He's dying. The apartment's about to be raided, and he tells you several times, save yourself and leave him there. If you leave, you find his body later on. But it's not at all apparent that you can stay and fight. And if you do stay, it seems like an impossible fight, but you can, in fact, save him. The game doesn't ask you to make a choice. It tells you what to do, but still leaves you a choice, even though you might have to search for it. That's infinitely more rewarding than being handed choices on a plate. Anyway, those are some lessons modern games could learn from Deus Ex. I'd give more examples explaining what I mean, but I've already written way too much. As always, thanks for the show.
Here's what you can do. If you're a modern game, be more like Deus Ex. That's what you can learn from Deus Ex. Enough like Deus Ex? No. Mm-hmm.
Go back. Let's change that.
It's somebody quick, make a flow chart. Are you Deus Ex? No. Are you Deus Ex? No.
Return are you to Deus point Ex? One.
Yes. Gold!
The thing I like to say, address about that was when he's talking about, you know, in real life you have the key, you know, you unlock the door, whatever. There's a difference between unlocking a door with a key and lockpicking. With Oblivion, like he says, the mini game of trying to...
It's poo-ass.
Yeah, it's dumb. Compared to Thief 3.
Thief 3 had great unlock.
Because yeah. That's great, because the world's still going on. You can still be caught, but you're trying to, wiggle your sticks around. I think that builds up the tension that immerses you even more so into it, and I love that. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of times where...
The mechanism wasn't entirely random. There's a question of accurately... Positioning the figuring out where the things are.
I've gotten caught like the Fallout 3. Yeah, I got caught a couple times trying to pick a lock in D3. Mm-hmm. I had to run away because I'm like, oh crap, they busted me.
Yeah.
So I think
that's being obviously a little pedantic because I get what he's saying, mm-hmm. but at the same time, this is why we fucking belittled Heavy Rain. Because Heavy Rain did want me concentrating on all the useless, pointless, mundane activities.
Plus up and down to brush teeth.
Yeah, so whatever. It's a question of getting the whole thing right. It's a question of feel. I remember your statement, and taken all by itself, it sounds like a stupid fucking statement. But it's not a stupid fucking statement. There are a lot of things that should be explicitly spelled out because
I remember the context was talking about the Mass Effect 2 planets
and their
descriptions versus their presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a AAA game with a AAA budget and you're going to describe some shit to me and Show have it. A visual representation of it, then it damn sure better match up. But no, there's lots of great ways you can use your imagination in games and that it should be used. Particularly for smaller budget games, and I used to make up all sorts of shit I was doing when I was playing Super Mario Brothers because I got tired of being a plumber in the Mushroom Kingdom. I think I had no less than a dozen different things that I would imagine I was doing when I was playing that. But no, there's imagination can be used to great effect, particularly in
Leisure Suit Larry.
No. Particularly in a horror or suspense setting. Those are things that should actively engage your imagination.
The more you use your imagination, the better and the more suspenseful it is.
Mm-hmm. The less that is visually spelled out there, the scarier it can be.
Yeah, the less you see the actual shark, the scarier, mm-hmm. Jaws was.
Something Stephen Moffat, writing the new Doctor Who, understands pretty well, but that's a whole other thing. Anyway,
No, they're making games. So it's not a whole nother thing.
That's true. They are making some Doctor Who games, aren't they?
Yeah. Little bitty fuckers.
Yeah.
Whatever. Little tiny shits. Quick and fast whatever.
He's writing them. They're canonical and they're free downloads.
I'll
check them out. That's you, Scott. Yes. Unless you have something to add.
No, I'm going straight to it.
If you wait too long, I'll start talking about the merits of... State-run media sources.
Calgar99 says, have you touched Dawn of War 2 Chaos Rising expansion? I don't play many PC games, but I find it a nice palate cleanser from all the shooters I've been playing lately. And you don't need the original Dawn of War 2, from what I understand. And if you haven't played Dawn of War 2, I hear it's quite like Diablo. Never played it. Really good. Highly recommend it.
I have played Dawn of War 2. I have not played the X-Pack yet. But since you mentioned Diablo, boy, wasn't that a good game? That was a really good game.
Yeah.
I could really stand to have some Diablo 3 right about now.
Yeah.
Or, 2 years from now. Whatever, it's all the same to Blizzard.
I'd even be happy with the GPS Diablo, the April 1st. You saw that? Oh, I know you did.
Yeah.
There's McHugh.
Can we just consider this like a practice show since we've been back?
Sure.
Okay. Because this shit sucks.
Craig E. writes in and says, I agree with James. When I used to play it, this is concerning WoW and Bad Company 2. When I used to play it, I could always rely on enjoyment in WoW solely on the principle of human presence. The fact that the world was filled with thousands of other people was massively multiplayer enough for me to be satisfied in what I was doing. Sure, I delved deeper, finding myself in a big guild doing in-game raids, but that feeling of logging on at 3 a.m. and just basking in the general chat of Shattrath City was everything that defines... MMOs for me. I don't know. And then James had to be a tank. That's what I'm going to do for every word I don't know anymore. I'm sorry, I interrupted. He then took the billy goat. And then James had to be a tank rolling on a DPS weapon. Man, fuck.
Yeah, I totally did that. No. I was a tank rolling on a DPS weapon against a Death Knight. I made it really clear that it was a Death Knight. They're a boil on the ass of the WoW community. It's a Death Knight, for God's sake, man. Come on. It's impossible to have sympathy for one. Every time you try, you realize it's a Death Knight. Holy shit. What can I do to make your life more miserable today? I'm going to take your Edge of Ruin and then immediately replace it with a Kel'Sorar. Fucking Quel'Daron. What the fuck am I saying?
Dude, I don't fucking know.
No. I said the wrong sword. I'm sorry. You just make it I couldn't replace that with that. That's so stupid. I'm writing an email.
All I know is my father-in-law plays a Death Knight.
Does he really?
Yeah. God damn it, dude. You should talk to him about Death Knight.
I don't know how people do that. It's like, I understand new people want to play them, but you totally have to get like some other thing to level 55 to be able to play one. I want to see if I can change that while I wasn't looking. In which case, you know, GG. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Looking at Bad Company 2, while I agree with James' point that the natural incentives provided often produce basic teamwork, nothing beats you and seven others forming tactical plans and party chat while your two squads absolutely dominate some assholes in a game of Port Valdez or Erica Harbor.
Yeah, actually, you're totally right about that, because I'm always stuck with, like, the fucking, you know, a whole team full of, like, I don't know, Shemp Howards or something. Like, fucking stooges all the time. I swear to God, I think that music's going to play. Every fucking time. Oh, let me resurrect you real quick. Oh, you're dead. Hold on. Let me resurrect. Oh, you're dead again. I wonder why. It's the motherfucker standing 10 feet away shooting me every time you resurrect me, you stupid piece of shit.
That happened to me last night.
Why don't
night.
You shoot him and then resurrect me?
Yeah. That happened to me last night. There was a sniper that had a beat on me, and he got me down. I'm like, oh, all right. And the guy ran up to me, and he resurrected me before I could do anything. Bam, I'm down again. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, oh, fucker.
Those two assholes are in cahoots. That's the secret you don't know. they're on party chat together.
Yeah.
Fuck it. No, it's absolutely whatever. I have not had good experiences randomly hoping people would do what I said they did, and instead they proved me a liar. whatever. Nobody fucking does shit in this game except be a dumb shit. Unless they're playing with, like... Unless it's your buddies or something.
When you're trying to assault on Rush, everybody's a sniper in the background. Yeah. And you're the only one out there trying to go after the crates.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know. That maybe that kind of thing works itself out a little bit later. Because the way that the unlocks have incentivized your play, it's like, fuck this, dude. I want to get that next sniper weapon. I need to play recon. I have to play recon so that I can unlock shit in recon and get that next gun. So, yes, it would be more helpful to the team if I played Assault or, you know, whatever, or Engineer. But I really need that next Recon gun, so I've got to play Recon. You know, it's like a more universal unlock system might not make it work that way. But when everybody wants to get to the fucking SVU or the VSS,
yeah,
everybody's going to be playing Recon until they do. They're not going to be playing a health class, so...
He goes on, looking a bit further, I still have problems with the recon class. For assault, your main teamwork contributions are killing and providing ammo packs. Mm-hmm. Ammo packs have a wide range of effect, and killing is always on the mind, so team contribution is natural. A little more effort for medics and engineer, what with having to actively pull out your defibrillators or repair tool to get shit done, but that, alongside dutiful med pack administrations and rockets flying toward tanks, seems to happen well enough. It's with those stupid fucking recon guys. You're given a sniper rifle, and suddenly it's a lone wolf single-player experience where it's just you, the scope leading down a long barrel, and headshots. They don't understand that class is called recon, not sniper. Perhaps it's an unwillingness to utilize the mortar strikes properly, or a dislike of the concept of motion mines.
Yeah,
the motion. But it seems that an incompetent recon is far more of a drag than any other class when playing with randoms in Bad Company 2.
You know what they are? They're fucking Death Knights. Yeah, because they put a lot of the most important tools in the hands of the sniper. They gave him C4.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him the
mortar strike.
Mortar strike.
And even the recon mine, that thing, if you use it properly, it could...
Yeah, but I mean, that's contiguous from the first game.
Yeah.
That's a relationship that existed in the first game. But the fact that they gave him the C4 and the mortar strike, it's a fucking pain in the ass.
They had the Spec Ops.
They had the JDAM in the first game.
Yeah.
Which was really helpful, but easy to defeat. But they gave them just really, really, really useful tools. And nobody... They don't use them all that much. So he's right about that.
Yeah, he goes on to... He sent us another email immediately afterwards. He said, "I just realized that I was replying to your March 12th podcast, which my Zune received on March 18th. Emailing you guys today, March 21st, I'm replying to a 9-day-old podcast. Then I realized that you'll read my reply on this week's podcast, which I won't hear until April. My head hurts." A little later than what you thought there. Captain Canuck writes in and says, "On reading emails and tweets at the start, I was just about to suggest you start reading emails and tweets at the start." And there's a very good reason for it. "In-game chat is like any other organization trying to create a product, and you are its executive directors. We, the listeners, its members at large. You run the show, the meeting, create and run through the agenda, vote and discuss. But following a welcome and then roll call, every board meeting starts with a request for new business from its members. It all sort of fits far too easily. It's just good format." Too bad we didn't stick with it.
Yeah, no. We didn't abandon it.
It's no, we didn't. Like, we didn't. We didn't.
This episode's all fucked up, and we've been gone for so long, and apparently we all hate video games now. So we're trying to work through some personal shit here. I think next week.
It's not you, it's us.
Yeah. It'll be different. We'll be back into our element. On Bad Company 2, I'd like to echo James' comments on multiplayer. I just like having other people around. To RPGs, MMOs, it brings more realism and life. To first-person shooters and real-time strategies, it brings more challenge, variety, and skullduggery that no AI could ever accomplish. Not every game must be multiplayer to be a good game, but any good game with well-thought-out multiplayer just suits me better. I can't often say the same things on the Colony of Gamers boards, because not at all, but far too many are of the opinion that multiplayer and multiplayers are the devil. Read Kitties, whose douchebaggery is of a Kotickian proportions. And I can't really blame them. I've just never really minded taunting, insults, or cheap tactics. I just wanted to point out that you can tell the good players apart in Bad Company 2 very easily. Sure, everyone works together because they made a great multiplayer that rewards people for doing the right thing, but when you get a full group of good people, it just clicks. Doesn't happen often, because you need three of them, so that's very rare. But when it does, you find everyone sticking close together, covering rear and side angles to protect you, even though all points are in front, ammo, and health packs go down before the fight as prevention. The last man will hide and evade rather than go for that extra kill. They'll take separate vectors to a target or entrance to a building. It's really something magical, and you can instantly recognize that you're playing with three other good multiplayers. Anyway, have a good rest of the show." So... a lot of talk on Bad Company 2 there. Let's see. Next email. We're getting there. Ming writes in and says, "Hey, fellas. Been a while since I've sent an email to you guys. The splicers in Bioshock 2 have taken over my life until I finished it. Just finished listening to the podcast, The Contempt, for this episode. And heard you guys discussing about giant mech games. And I have to agree. I'm waiting for the next giant mech game. So at the moment... Armored Core on the 360 is filling my needs. But then it came to my mind, why has there not been a Heavy Gear 3?
Oh, man.
I love the original, too. The game was like if Gran Turismo, Flashpoint, and Mech Warrior had a threesome to make this mutant of an FPS game that lets you choose different mech types to customize like Gran Turismo at the same time, allowing you to customize your loadout like Flashpoint, and on top of all, the giant mech action like Mech Warrior. I also just got Bad Company 2. Man, that game is just badass. I haven't played a game with such intense firefights in a long time. The game does so well in making you feel suppressed when you're at a choke point, and there's nothing like flanking people and stabbing your way through a whole squad. It's a shame you guys don't have it on PC, as I am just enjoying every aspect of the game. Would love to squad up with you fellas. Always a pleasure listening to the podcast. Keep up the good work. Would love to make a call to you fellas on the live podcast if calls were done through Skype. However, I think in the time difference might make things difficult at my end to call in. P.S. If Matt and Scott is not around for a podcast, who would be next on the list for James to target?
I don't know. I can't target Jeremy. He and I are at each other all day.
He'd probably still target us. We just wouldn't be here. That's all.
That's true.
One more thing.
He'd just be extra pissed off.
Yeah, really. He didn't have anybody to direct it to. How awesome would a Predator game be if it was made by Rocksteady Studio using the Batman Arkham Asylum engine? I guess we can only dream and hope.
Yeah. It'd be better than Arkham Asylum. I mean, it's not. I'm not pissing on Arkham Asylum. That'd be fucking great.
All right, next email. We're getting close.
I miss
close.
Heavy Gear. That was fun. Did you ever play it?
Dude, I'm trying to remember.
It was an old Activision game. Yeah, just, you know, your big, they didn't call them mechs, they called them gears, but, you know, you just...
Did they really? Is that where they got the title from?
That's exactly where they got the title from. And they were heavy, even. So, yeah, it's, you know, it was a little bit after the 3D acceleration with MechWarrior 2, when those things came out.
I think I played it.
It was fun.
No, I didn't, actually. I remember now. That's a shame. Big robots I didn't even know I missed.
Yeah.
That's always sad.
Yeah.
Next email. Hello, I am Michael K.N. O'Reilly, indie developer and creator of I Wanna Be The Guy. A few friends, knowing my interest in game design, suggested this podcast to me, and I can see why. When James called GDC a bunch of Jonathan Blow bullshit, or blowshit as he'd like to say, I nearly peed myself laughing. That whole rant just touched on a subject I'm particularly sore about. This subject is even more frustrating for me as an indie developer, since the entire scene seems obsessed with making the next Braid or the next Passage, ugh, or whatever. The fact that real paid game designers have caught this bug too saddens me on a deep level, and I think it's important for people to call them out for this. People seem to be more concerned with trying to make something artsy and superficially deep rather than look at the good solid game design and see why it works. Companies like Blizzard cannot get enough credit. While the gaming industry as a money machine does not give these developers the rope they need to hang themselves, I still wish their heads weren't in the clouds. Just because you're working on the nth castle cash-in sequel in a series of games doesn't mean you can't inject it with brilliant game design. Brilliant design is not overt art. In fact, at its best, it's practically invisible to those not looking for it. I also thought the multiplayer rant was also very good. I hated how people hide behind concepts like developer's intent and pass blame onto other players. Incentivizing good behavior is a key part of almost any online game. But does this go too far sometimes? An example that comes to mind for me is the Left 4 Dead series. Regardless of their quality, I hate these games and often end up getting into arguments about them. Many people tend to expound the game's inherent teamwork as a selling point for the game, but for me, it seems like a big load of bullshit. There's such an incentive to do very simple teamwork action, stay as a group, pick people up, that the teamwork becomes practically a color-by-numbers thing, where coloring outside the lines generally just helps you get killed. I'm not picking my teammate up to help the team effort. I'm not doing it for points. I'm doing it because some screaming thing might suddenly drop on my head and I'll automatically die without someone being there to shoot it off. The elements of teamwork are rigid. They are must, sitting just short of being immutable. They are not rewarding me for good teamwork. They are putting a gun to my virtual head and saying, pick that bitch up. This seems incredibly heavy-handed and artificial, and is part of the reason I can never get immersed in these games. So, do you guys think there is a point where this gets a little too ridiculous? And if so, where do you each personally think this line falls?
If you had asked me 10 years ago, do I think that people need to be so... was I desperate for any kind of guiding force in multiplayer? Right after Kevin opened the door and Matt blew him away, I'd say, you bet your ass. You fucking shackle this motherfucker to the most constricted form of multiplayer possible.
If that was a German, you guys would be singing my praise to this day.
It wasn't a German. We knew for like 3 fucking minutes it wasn't a German. How come your one goddamn Han Solo quick draw against Darth Vader moment had to happen when you knew it was your buddy? What the fuck? Anyway. Oh, man. If I stepped all over the real point there, didn't I?
Yeah, you really did. It was a pretty kill.
Yeah. Of course, man. Of course that shit goes too far.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to invite you guys to have an opinion here, so don't just rely on me.
I was playing some Left 4 Dead last night with a friend, and you know, haven't played that game in quite a while. And I forgot exactly how much it is, you know, forced multiplayer. Because, in fact, we're doing four people, and it's like, you know, me and him against, you know, two others, and like we're being infected, and they were, taking turns on, you know, on teams. And, you know, you single one person out, and you know, if you just, like, get them down, that's it. There's no way to get out of it. And so you have to be there and, you know, help each other out in order to survive. And, yeah, it is extremely forced, but, I think it depends on the game, and if you're enjoying it, you don't really mind too terribly much. I know you don't like the Left 4 Dead series.
No, I don't like it at all.
I have a good time when I play it.
I don't enjoy it at all. It's, you know, it's doing an imitation of emergent gameplay, you know, of those really great spontaneous moments. Those are the things that make it really good. But those are, I guess, part of the design in Left 4 Dead. I don't really care for that. I mean, what he said there is precisely the reason that I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, he did a very good job explaining the faults, I think, that game has as far as the co-op, I suppose, really is what that is.
Have you played his game, by the way?
No,
Jeremy played some of it.
I watched it. I went to YouTube and I watched it.
The YouTube videos, even those were hard.
And I did. Yeah.
I think I almost fucked up watching the video. It's like, that's how fucking hard it is.
Yeah, it was like, but I loved watching the video. Once I was like, holy shit, there's Zangief. Holy fuck.
I was laughing my ass off.
The first time.
I'd heard all about the game, and I knew I needed to like play it, because I like, you know, hard platformer shit.
Well, there you go, man. And, like, Jesus Christ.
I played it, and I, you know, in case he's listening, I just got to say, like, because I was saying this to him while I was playing it. Man, you're a motherfucker. God damn it. That shit's too hard for me, man. Yeah. I don't know how anybody does.
And we were watching the video, God, and like something happened, and Jeremy was like, this is the part where I couldn't, like, he was trying to explain the part where he got stuck.
Uh-huh.
And then the dude does this thing, and Jeremy's like, and this is the part right there. Oh, motherfucker!
Yeah.
When, like, he sees how the guy did it, and he was like, God, son of a bitch. That was fucking brilliant, though. I loved it.
No, that's, that was really fun to watch.
That shit way too intense for me.
I dreaded playing it, but I was like, yeah, that's fun to watch.
That's pretty great.
I hope this style of gameplay never becomes popular. Because, that's going to suck for me.
Has.
Yeah, it has. I mean, there's a lot of games out there like that where it's...
I said it was a favorite on YouTube, man.
Yeah.
I still remember the part, I think my favorite I Want to Be the Guy scene was where he was running under the trees and all the apples were falling at the right moment and everything. And there was a part where he had to jump over one and he thought it was going to fall. That thing went straight up into him and took him out.
Yeah. It was great arbitrary punishment.
Yes.
Hilarious when it happens to someone else.
Yes, totally. I could see getting so... Oh. I don't need. My blood pressure can't handle games like that.
About the like rigidity of the, you know, some of the multiplayer. Like I really dig the whole Left 4 Dead. You know, rigid, like forcing everybody to work together. Shit. I've had a great time playing it, but I also, you know. You know how quickly I go through games, like hop from one to the next. So once I've seen everything there is to do, I quickly move on to the next thing.
I'm trying
so
to,
I can see where something like that wouldn't be as rewarding long term as a more open multiplayer environment. But man, I really dig me.
I'm trying to think of a game outside of Left 4 Dead that could still, you know, equate to what he's describing.
If I put that into a single player context, I agree. I tend to agree with it more. You know, I like to, you know, be left to my own devices a lot more in single player stuff. But you know, I'm not one of the guys that wrote in like, I agree with James. Like, playing with other people's great multiplayer and everybody, you know, all these real people in the world. I've never been that guy. So I don't know. I think I was a long time ago, but that was about 10 years ago. So.
I don't know where the fuck that shit comes from.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't really like people that much. You know? But, yeah, I don't know. Again, it doesn't even have to be, it doesn't have to be massively populated, man. I just need to feel like I'm connected to shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, playing alone is like playing, I don't know, like being without the internet or something. I don't know. Makes my skin crawl.
All right. Do it. Yes, next email. Tacitus says, glad you're back. Bill Harris's Dubious Quality blog makes a nice summary of the state of the Infinity Ward lawsuits, but he has one telling paragraph, and he quotes it here. One thing I haven't seen, current or former Infinity Ward employees talking about what great guys West and Zampella are and how terrific it was to work for them. Not one. Part of me, the cranky, cynical, and dissolute part, hopes it drifts from civil to criminal territory. Looks like James hit the nail on the head on an earlier podcast.
That's funny.
And a very last-minute email that we got about, 49 minutes ago. Calgar writes back in and says, hey guys, I was at a family gathering at the weekend and my aunt was telling me how she was concerned about my cousin playing violent video games, first-person shooters alike. He's 22, so it's not like it's not an age-appropriate. Nice. I found it very hard to articulate why it's okay and he's not a sociopath. I used the argument that it's like books or movies but more of an interactive media, but it just rang hollow. I just could not come up with a reasonable explanation why he, like myself, enjoys shooting people in the head and snapping necks without sounding like a complete violence junkie. Any take on how you would approach this? How do you explain this to folks on a different generation who view it in some as a reflection of your subconscious? I don't know if that's the right word. Anyway, good to hear you back. You've been missed.
Because it's, you know, that catharsis that, you know, keeps me from doing it to them in real life. Doesn't.
You wouldn't do that in real life even if you didn't have games.
Or even if you weren't in the military.
I don't think you do explain it to people who don't get it, man.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can. I mean, we could sit here and, like, you know, explain it ourselves if we, like, wanted to go, you know, deep enough into it. But, like, we all know why we fucking play games.
It's fun.
Yeah. We can go into, like, you know, the challenge and, you know, the rules and... Or you can go into the, you know, being a... you know, the superhero, the guy that saves the world or does the whatever and, like, up against all odds or whatever. Or, you know, there's all sorts of ways to go with that. But, like, man, whatever. They're not going to get it no matter which way you take it.
It's like they've already got a predetermined disposition that anybody who likes doing that a game is sick, is a sick and twisted individual.
I don't even think that's it. I just don't think...
It is they have a lot of them.
They don't... Yeah, with a lot of them it is. But, like, they don't have any frame of reference for it. I just don't get it. Like, even, I remember, you know, my granddad, like, trying to, like, ask me questions when I was a kid. Like, he was like, are there any of these games where everybody's, like, friends or something? And I was like...
Pokemon? I don't know.
There was, like, puzzle games and stuff. He's like, no, that's not what I mean. And, like, he couldn't wrap his head around it. He was
reaching. He was trying to find something.
He was trying.
He could, but
like,
he couldn't do it.
No.
He just couldn't do it. Mm.
Like... It's just some this foreign alien thing.
Well, I mean,
know?
are there any board games where everybody's friends?
None that I can think of.
I mean, I'm talking like game theory here. Yeah. It's all about contested space.
Yeah.
Or something. Or a power struggle of some kind. You're not friends in chess. You're not friends in checkers. You're not friends in fucking Parcheesi.
Life.
Or Monopoly. Like, and Monopoly, you're only friends long enough to fuck the other guy.
Hell, the base of a game is competition anyway.
Yeah, it's contested something.
Yeah.
Like, it's what all game theory is, all the way back to fucking, I don't know, like, it doesn't matter. As long as there's been play, it's been about a violent contest. And you just might not see it expressed that way. So there really isn't... I think we do ourselves a disservice sometimes trying to compare ourselves to literature, you know. I mean, I kind of wanted to go that way because I like the idea of story development, but really when it gets down to it, if I shoot somebody and he dies in an extraordinarily interesting way, a completely implausible, an absolutely horrifying way, that if displayed on a newsreel would kind of hollow me out a little bit on the inside, right? If I do that to somebody in a game, I'm not going to grit my teeth and, like, I don't know, man, have a meth high or something because I killed this guy, and I'm not going to get a fucking boner or anything. I'm going to laugh. It's always been my response.
Yeah.
It's fucking laughter. What the hell does that mean? Does it mean that I think that death is funny? Fucking of course not. Yeah. What it means is that looking that a violent video game is more than you think it is. I'm not killing people when I kill people in a violent video game. That's the problem, is that people who misunderstand it think I'm committing violence and I'm reacting to virtual violence. But that's not really what's happening, you know? I won the contest with fucking prejudice, you know? Like, I'm not even sure that psychologically death is anywhere near me, even though the words death and killing and destruction, all these things are how we define the conflict. That's the real problem, is that we all know that, I know what you feel when you play this, because that's what I feel, mm-hmm. you know? And when I say death and you say death and say kill and say whatever the fuck you want to say, we don't have to keep reminding each other that, you know, I don't really mean killing. But when you're talking to someone who doesn't play video games, that's what you have to do, because you're not speaking the same language. At all. All the words you... death to you does not mean death to them. Like, it's totally different. You're not speaking the same English. So, unless you can, like, before you ever talk about it, redefine what the hell you're doing. Jeremy's basically right, is that you don't bother. You don't bother. You sure as hell don't... Oh, I'm sorry. You sure as hell don't lie to them and tell them that it doesn't affect you. Because that's a lie. We all know it's a lie. Like... whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I used to play fucking Ridge Racer after work every day. I used to, like, leave work and then go by the arcade and play Ridge Racer. And then, like...
And you'd get in your car
and then I'd get my fucking car off. And I'd be like... I'd get a little squirrely.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'd have to fucking... Midtown Madness,
I'd have to fucking awesome. Remind myself, like...
Yeah.
Like, dude, I can't, like, rub that car into the fucking guardrail just because he's pissed. Like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But it was there. It was in my... I don't know, my fucking endocrine system or whatever. It was there.
About 5 to 15 miles an hour faster than usual.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, and even back then, I was like, no, I'm not going to lie to myself. This obviously has an effect on me, otherwise I wouldn't do it. Why the fuck would I do something that has no effect on me? Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of it's language, a lot of it's perception, you know, just like, I'm sure it sounds fucking weird for a couple guys to be sitting in the hallway here at work talking about killing people, but like, whatever, man. How we say it, you know. They've mostly learned to ignore us. We don't ever try to explain it to them. I think that's probably just that.
There's a silent understanding.
I just think I think we do that for the next 30 years until they're all dead.
Until the generation is caught up to itself.
And then that particular argument will probably resolve itself.
Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I mean, I know. I get it. I have to... Well, that's a bullshit statement, though, because we have to... Actually, I have that conversation with our peers all the time.
Yeah.
People from our own fucking age group. That's whatever. I know, dude. Sorry, it's hard. There's no way. You either get on the same level with the English or...
Well, with them, it's not usually about the violence, though. It's about, my husband, you know, tell him...
And no, that's true. That's true.
Spends time on
the games.
Try
to hear about this crap. Whatever.
Knows when I come home...
So was my ex-wife.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't care. I'll go kill some guys.
All right, well,
you know, it really is. It really is a whole lot more fun to respond to emails. I really think I like it a whole lot more than, like, having to bring my own fucking thoughts. You know.
Yeah.
We should just become like one of those shows where people just like ask us stuff or tell us stuff, and then we talk about that. Like, fucking quit having our own goddamn ideas.
Ask a ninja.
Huh?
Like ask a ninja?
Yeah, something. Like, can we just be like...
Ask a podcast.
Ask a gamer.
That's a stupid name. You've been coming up with stupid names for as long as I've known you.
Ask a climax.
Ask a climax. yeah. No, it's fine. Whatever. It's fun. I like that idea. I really do, because sometimes we're absolutely fucking tapped out, and clearly on nights like tonight, we fucking hate video games. Until you guys ask us a question about video games, we're like, seriously. Oh, holy shit, that's pretty interesting. So
we've been off for 4 weeks, and
you guys should send us more stuff.
Yeah.
Stop. You know what? It doesn't matter what we think. What do you think? But what? I don't give a shit. Whatever. Write me some stuff. It's far more interesting to read somebody's email and then, you know, sometimes answer that email, sometimes, like, fucking ignore it and then just talk about whatever it reminded me of. Because that happens a lot. But regardless, we obviously can't do it without your stuff, so. What are you looking at? What are you doing?
Thinking of what to say next.
Oh.
It's probably good.
Yeah.
So, thanks for listening. Thanks for waiting on us.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we really hate video games. I'll let you know.
We'll see you next time when we do a real show.
Does it say anything that when we take a break from the show for so long that we actually not necessarily lose interest in video games, but sort of had it do what it did to us here?
No, I think that was incidental. I really do.
Okay. Just curious. Actually, you're probably right, given the circumstances that have taken place in the past.
A lot of bullshit. It's like,
yeah.
You know, like bad, you know, railroad shit.
So yeah, like I said, man, life happened to us.
Yeah.
Fucking life. What a bunch of
God
stupid
damn
shit
it.
That is.
This is why we play video games. See you next week.